Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. Yes, live here in the studio with me, Leanne Mole.
Oh, that was quite an introduction.
I thought so. You deserved it. You know, with your sparkly water bottle.
I know.
Look at that.
It's called Spockily.
It's what?
It's Spockily.
Spockily.
Spockily. Very spookily.
Jesus, it's going to make the cameras go a little bit awry.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a water bottle.
I thought I'd
Is it a traffic hazard? Are you allowed to have that in your car at night?
I thought I'd use it today because I have a little bit of a gold thread through my dress.
Oh, look at what's happening with you. All you fashion-forward woman, you.
It's the menopause.
Oh, God. No. Why do you have to take it to a negative place?
No, I went to just through work. I ended up at a perimenopause get-together. Yeah.
Oh, God, that must have been horrible. How did you even find such a thing? Do they have smoke signals coming up from the forest?
No, it's part of the Fair Lady group. They've got something called HOT, as in, but yeah. It's for like...
Right, hot flushes.
Yeah, it's for like my age.
And sounds like a witch's coven to me.
And it's so strange because every
James
single...
Flex, if you ever find yourself being invited to anything but perimenopausal women, run. 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 They're going to cast spells and put you in a cauldron.
But it is strange, though, because every single woman there says, I can't believe that I'm at this stage.
Are they all single women there? Because you said every single woman there.
No, no, not every single woman there.
Oh, okay.
Every woman
there. I thought that might have counted in the plus column a little bit there. But
no,
okay.
But there was a sex lady there.
What is that? She what is a sex lady,
talks
Leanne?
About
what,
sex.
Why don't you stop with the euphemisms and just come out with it? You're a part of a witch's coven, and you buy sex toys at these witches' meetings that you have. And you're in charge of the coven.
And there was a dermatologist.
She's the grand high witch. Don't believe a word she says. She's trying to cover it up.
And the dermatologist said, notice how I just ignore everything you're saying. The dermatologist was funny. She said she's had women coming into her rooms lately going, my face has dropped.
Oh, right.
And it's like, my face fell.
Well, after this depressing start to...
It's not that depressing, though, because it's actually the nicest...
I don't know.
It's the nicest time of a woman's life. It really is.
Okay, well, then give me the pluses.
You don't give a fuck anymore.
No, I do. I do, because you said...
Women...
No. I wouldn't...
Gareth, you just misread me.
No, but besides the fact that, no, you say you don't give a fuck anymore.
No.
Is it positive? Is it positive?
Yes, women...
I did understand you.
Oh, okay.
I want to know, because you start off by going like, my face is dropped, my tits are sagged, they're all sitting together getting hot. This isn't good. Fuck. Right? Okay, so give me the other pluses. You don't give a fuck, and?
It's probably the biggest. And then...
But you've never really. So for you, what's the change?
No, you know what you do? You do, but you hide it a bit. But now it's like just
let it all
whatever.
Out.
Whatever. Just having the wisdom and the experience is really great. It can make things annoying.
Other people annoying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean,
that's not gender-specific.
That's
exactly
specific.
What happened to me when I gave up drinking for a while. I was like, okay, this is not difficult, but other people are the problem.
Mm.
All right. Okay, so how did you escape? How did you get away from
it
this
It closes
coven?
At a certain time.
Oh, right. So they'll have to go home.
Because perimenopausal women have other things to do.
What, do their Ubers arrive all at once? Or what's the story?
What, do you think we can't drive anymore?
Well, women can't drive full stop, but that's a very old joke. That's an old joke I saved from the 80s. No?
How did we get onto this?
You did. You brought it up straight away. Like, as the gates opened, you're like, perimenopausal women.
Oh, that's
women.
The other thing, the brain fog. Which is why I can't remember how we got onto this. The brain fog.
Well, I mean, you know, between Flex and James and I, we're all so turned on about the perimenopausal women that we don't know what to do with ourselves.
No, it's the opposite way. Perimenopausal women are turned on.
No, are they?
But the problem is the men that are our age.
Yeah, well, nothing works, right?
Nothing's really working anymore. So that's why the sex lady was there.
Okay. Did she teach you how to...
Pleasure yourself.
Oh, but also how to get the man to, like, wake up.
No.
Because everything's dormant.
No, it was more about how men are more like helicopters when it comes to sex, and women are more like aeroplanes.
Oh, this is an interesting analogy. Take me through it.
So men take off vertically. They're ready to go anytime if everything's working.
And this kind of sounds like a helicopter.
Yeah, that does too.
Right? All right.
So you get up very quickly. It's like you don't need much mental stimulation or anything in order to get high.
Yeah.
Whereas a woman,
airborne,
it's a whole freaking airport thing. It's the checking in. It's the duty-free lounge. It's the whole story that's woven. It's the excitement that builds. It's the long takeoff. And how it can take sometimes hours, days, weeks to get there for a woman.
Okay. I sometimes wonder, like if you know, I could be a woman for a day, whether I'd absolutely hate it or whether I'd think it was fantastic. Because I honestly don't know.
You would, after your first day, you would get home, roll up into a tiny ball and cry because you had to do it the next day.
That's unbelievable. You have to go through that every day? Wow. Marius,
it would be very overwhelming.
Marius says, Leanne, looking good there. If I wasn't married, and look at him, he looks like 1,000 years old. How dare you, Marius? I'd ask for a date for sure. Look at you. Looks like the crypt keeper and asking you on a date. That's the kind of guy you're attracting?
Did you just cock block him?
Well, I don't know. He said he's married. He started that himself. It's not as if he's in the market. All right, Marius, I take it back. That's nice of you to say. And Leanne, you're looking good there, he says.
Oh,
is he? He goes, you're looking good there, Leanne.
How I found disgusting. Out my mom's carer is having an affair with a pastor.
Ooh.
A married pastor.
How exciting. Now you should have started with that, not the perimenopausal women.
She's married too, but it's like hanging on by a thread.
Okay.
But yeah.
Did she and the pastor meet at his church?
I don't know. I only found out, like, the news broke last night.
Come on, Leanne. You got
to find out all the details.
Find out for next week. We need to know. We got Nina Hasty coming in later, which is always terrific. And she, she's kind of gone through a Nina Hasty renaissance, and she'll tell us about it. She hosted the Comic Choice Awards. She's been writing a tourism ad with Trevor Noah. But she's got things to say about it. And she's got this podcast of her own, which is going very well. She's terrific. Hmm. So she's going to be popping in a little bit later on. We're also going to talk to Ben, who is such an important jet setter now.
Oh, yeah?
You know, last week he was at the Ryder Cup in New York.
Oh, right.
Next week he's going to the Singapore Grand Prix.
But when I was here last week, he just returned from Thailand?
No, that was the week before, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. No, he's – please. We can hardly – I have to book an appointment with Ben for the show. We have to put it into his diary. His third secretary, who works for the second secretary, who works for the first secretary, she handles. Isn't that right, James? Isn't that what you have to do to get Ben on the show these days? Terrific. Well, I mean, if you don't know, he's got his own show, which is just there all the time and every week, regardless. I don't know how he fits that in either. But it's called On the Bounce, and you need to go and watch it and subscribe and like and all that stuff and comment and blah, blah, blah. Because it's a brilliant show.
Does he start it with, hey, besties?
No, I think he just starts it with a scheduling meeting with all of his secretaries. But, that's one of the shows you got to watch. The other one that we've just started, which people are raving about, we've had millions and millions of people, billions and billions and billions of people tuning in for Say Less, which is Pearl and Tando's show, Pearl Tusi and her daughter Tando. It's brought to you by The Real Network. All the drama, we got all the crazy. It's every Thursday. So there was a new episode released yesterday at 3 in the afternoon. But put a scheduling note in your diary, just like Ben has to, for that and for On the Bounce. It's a lot to do. So also today, we got Dr. Hanan, as usual, on a Friday, just so that you can get your head right before the weekend. And I've told Leanne, she and I are not allowed to make our problems Dr. Hanan's problems this morning. We actually have a we got such a long email from someone. They are whining and moaning. Anyway, I'm going to try and get through it. I'm going to try and get through it and put the stuff to Dr. Hanan, and maybe he can help this person. But oh my God.
The epitome of a non-therapist you are. This person's whining.
Yeah.
The longest email. Oh.
Yeah. It's enough to give you the perimenopause, right? You got any plans for the weekend? Anything exciting happening?
Oh, yes. I'm going to a one-year-old birthday tomorrow.
Don't you think it's inappropriate that you're the only adult at a one-year-old birthday party?
But I'm their friend.
Oh, say that again with that expression.
But I'm their friend. No, so you know these one-year-old birthday parties, they're all about the adults, really.
I believe so. And the other thing that was in the news this week that's also about adults and how much they like to spend on themselves, and it's got everybody in this country furious, is this Tembisa hospital fuckery, you know? These guys who stole 2 billion rand from the Tembisa hospital, and that was that Babita woman who was the whistleblower. Mm. She got shot. Like Cyril's nephew is one of the guys who's been on the take there.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. This Cyril's Kat nephew. Matlala guy. It's so ugly. I don't go on social media all the time like I used to, but wow. I went on, I think it was Wednesday. Or couldn't have been yesterday. I was too busy. Probably Wednesday. People are furious. And look, you never know when the last straw is going to break the camel's back, right? Mm. But I think South Africans have looked at this and they've gone, yeah, okay, there's corruption. We've just got to put up with a certain amount of this. This seems to me to be something that everybody is furious about, but really furious. Rich, poor, old, young, black, white, middle class, working class, people from Tembisa, people not from Tembisa, because this is just such an outright theft. And, you know, we were paying for things. And I say we, the taxpayer, with this Tembisa hospital thing. Like, they bought a bucket for like 40,000 rand.
A bucket?
A bucket. No, I mean, it's just obviously huge inflation. And then we don't even know if the bucket was bought, but these guys who benefited from this deal, and we know who they are, their wives are like posting videos of themselves on Emirates first class flying.
God.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. It's like clearly these people have no idea how out of touch they are. And they still want, you know, it's the weirdest thing, right? Like, you've stolen money from ordinary people. You've stolen money from the people of South Africa who already are paying tax to you.
Mm.
And the ones who are meant to benefit from where that money is spent, with public health care, for example. So you hate them. You don't have any sensitivity to their needs at all, right? Mm. You're a psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also really want them to look at you.
Yeah, because you're putting it out there.
Yeah, you're showing the world your largesse and the waste of money and the vulgarity of your life. But you can't work out in your head that there's this dichotomy of like, I hate these people because I don't care about them and I'll take their money. And my husband or I will spend it. However, he's got like Lamborghinis and Land Rovers and like a whole lot of like exotic cars, right? And then on the same level, they desperately want everyone else's love and approval. Which is why they would post these things and be seen in public. And, you know, I mean, we've all seen those videos of like guys washing their hands in, you know, Louis XIII cognac, which costs almost, I mean, I don't know if it's 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 80,000 rand.
It's like giving Dubai wellness.
Wealthiness. I mean, like even Dubai. Cheap, I hesitate to
new
say
new money.
Even Dubai
grossness.
Seems to be like a little more classy about things. It's just, it's almost like those Skotane vibes, you know? It's like that.
How do you deal with it? How do you live with the knowledge that this is stolen money? How, and you're being so OTT about it.
And
I can't.
We do know that in the case of the Tembisa Hospital, that there were children who died because there wasn't electricity or there weren't staff who could be brought in because the staff weren't being paid. We know that machines weren't working. We know that medicines weren't delivered. So there's an actual human life cost. It's not like just, you know, it's not a crime that doesn't affect anyone. Mm. It's not a victimless crime. There are actual people who have been harmed and or are dead now as a result of these disgusting moves by these guys. You just got to ask yourself, like, how would you? I know I couldn't sleep. You said you
could. No ways. It makes me feel ill just thinking about it. But now we hear about these things, but then is something done about it?
Well, you know, Fikile Mbalula released a press release yesterday, which of course means he's doing as much as he can because it's very tough for him to release a whole press release. And the other big news story, which was also part of a press release he put out earlier this week, was Natim Tetwa. Now, Natim Tetwa was a minister of sport for a while. He was minister of – what else? He was minister of police for a little bit.
Mm.
He was – oh, he's been a minister.
He's
been
around for a long time.
The ANC put ministers in, and then they shift them around. And like that would be like me saying to James, okay, James, today I want you to be a baker – tomorrow I want you to be a butcher, and on Friday next week, you must be a candlestick maker. And then he must go, oh, well, that sounds good to me, and just do it, because you don't need any skill for any of these. Just why don't you fuck up all three jobs? That's the ANC's attitude. Is, you know, you already fucked up the police ministry. Let's move you to another ministry. And I know people are already starting to get nervous because I have a record of speaking ill of the dead. But Natim Tetwa, I had no idea.
So here he is. There was South African ambassador to France.
Yeah, that's his most recent job.
Sports, arts and culture minister. Minister of arts and culture before that. Minister of police before that. Minister of safety and security.
Chief whip
in the majority party.
Okay, stop, because I mean that's where his CV
ends. No, that's where he starts.
Yeah, there's not much in the way of great achievements during the term of this particular minister in any of those departments. And it goes to prove my point that they then made him ambassador to France. So we all have just come to accept that the diplomatic corps, our Department of International Relations and Cooperation, as they're called, these are really just cushy retirement jobs for comrades who've served the movement well. Natim Tetwa was put in the ambassador to France position. I don't think he could ever speak French. I stand to be corrected, but I'm fairly confident that there's not a chance.
It's reminding me of, remember old Snooki Zikalala from the SABC, the reporter who would go, Snooki Zikalala, SABC, Paris, France.
Yeah, correct. This is where he was. And anyway, he was found dead. Apparently, he had either fallen or been pushed or had jumped. Those are the only three options.
Yeah.
From the 23rd floor or 22nd floor of a building, a hotel in Paris. So I do want to separate the fact that this guy is dead from why the hell he was in France as our ambassador in the first place. I cannot imagine that there was any moment in French politics in the last 20 years where they've gone, hold on, wait, we need to check with South Africa for anything. Okay, I mean, that's kind of how it is for our president too. And when he goes to the UN, nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention. In fact, they should just shut down the UN is my point of view. But we can save that for another day. But Natim Tetwa was sent there like comrades are because it's like, oh, okay, well, Nati's nearing the end of his usefulness. We put him in three ministries. He's done bugger all in all three. So let's make him – I know, says someone in the ANC inner circle. Let's send him to France because he's so good at speaking French. And then they put him in France. I don't know how long he was ambassador for. We have no idea of what happened. Apparently his wife is now releasing part of their WhatsApp conversation. But we don't know enough. And I'm not going to speculate about what happened. But it's clear there could only be three options. There's either he jumped. And remember, he was meant to be a witness in this Matlala hearing that's going on at the moment, Commission of Inquiry. So there's that possibility, which a lot of people are getting very excited about. They're like, oh, well, maybe he was going to have to spill the beans and someone got to him first. And you've got to remember, the ANC cannot sit the right way around on a lavatory. For them to pull off an assassination in Paris, absolutely impossible. I don't think 99% of ANC comrades could point to Paris on a map. So perish the thought. Maybe if he was in Paris in the Free State, they would have got to him. But in Paris, France, ish. It's a little far. Anyway, so he could have jumped. He could have been killed. There is the possibility. I mean, targeted, but he wasn't really well known for anything. You know, if he were as outspoken as, let's say, Naledi Pandor is about Palestine, and, you know, you had a conspiracy theory about Mossad, for example, you could say something happened there. It's a stretch, but if it was Naledi, maybe.
Yeah.
But like Natim Tetwa was saying, he was just, I don't even think you would have known who he was, despite being a minister three times, if you walked past him in the shops. Would you? James, see if you find a picture to put up of the guy in case everybody's really struggling. I mean, there might be people from overseas who are going, what are you talking about? So, I mean, have a look. He was also the minister. I remember we had Jack Defnerain on once on the show, and he was complaining about Natim Tetwa because he's the guy who was meant to have made sure that artists get paid their royalties for performing, whether it's on a TV commercial or whether it's in music or whether it's for a movie. And as Minister of Arts and Culture, he did nothing. I mean, he was just absolutely abominable at his job. So maybe he was getting the – there he is. Maybe he was getting some recipe for French fine dining, and that was his final contribution. Bouff bourguignon that he brought back from Paris, you know? Maybe they'll slip it into the coffin or something. I just don't have a whole lot of time for when I see ENCA and all these other pious news networks. And they put up a picture of him just like we did now, but they've got like candles and Natim Tetwa, whatever year to 2025. And they're like pretending they're respectful. I wonder how many people even knew that Natim Tetwa was in Paris.
I didn't even know he was still doing anything.
Exactly. Right? I mean, we should really take a look at who our ambassadors are all over the world and see who of them can even speak the language of the country they're in. That used to be like a basic thing.
Yeah.
And
I know you had to have some kind of interest or history or...
And I know this sounds old school, but like, what is the point of an ambassador? An ambassador is there to handle communications between the government of country X and the government of country Y. They are meant to be an official conduit...
Or
the leaders of those countries, should conflict break out, should an alliance be in the offing, should there be trade negotiations. They're trying to bring those countries closer together, but also to mediate harm. And I don't see anyone going, you know, in an emergency when a French nuclear submarine blows off in Durban and creates a nuclear accident.
What are the chances?
I mean, let's imagine, right?
Thank
God we have Natim Tetwa, you know? So aside from the fact that he's dead, and for which I'm sorry for his family, as you should be, for anyone who dies, but people do, we'll find out more as more gets published. I'm not going to speculate wildly about what happened here, but we know there are only a couple of options. So that's going on in the news.
Sure.
Tembisa Hospital is going on in the news. Yeah. There's other stuff too we can get to in a second. You were going to say?
I was going to say he got married only 12 years ago.
Who, Natim Tetwa?
Yeah, to like the love of his life. So
at least there's a romantic collision element to it there. All right. So
that I feel sorry for, shame. So you say his wife's going to release WhatsApp messages and things?
Apparently. Apparently. I don't know what the state of their relationship was. You've just told me they got married and it was the love of his life. I hope so. You know, I hope that everybody, and you know, you've got to have these things that make your life worth living. Because God knows it wasn't being in the ANC that gave the guy a sense of meaning. Yeah. It never is. Your politics cannot be the reason that you're excited to wake up in the morning. If they are, let me suggest that you take up a hobby. Like, imagine that you wake
start
up in the morning
crocheting.
And you're like, ooh, I've got to see what J.D. Vance said this morning. Otherwise, my day is just not going to work out the way I hoped.
Yeah.
Imagine that's your thing.
There are a lot of people who are like that, though.
It's kind of sad, don't you? I'd rather go to the perimenopausal
conference,
witches coven that you go to. Are you a member now? Do you have a card? You have a pointy hat?
No, unfortunately not. But it was nice being around people my age.
I think I'd have fun. I think, as you said, these women don't give a shit.
They don't.
They're laughing a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's
hilarious.
There's not a self-righteous or a sense of overly developed sense of self-awareness there. It's like, it's funny.
It's funny and it's just relaxed and cool.
I think that could be hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
All right. So don't get angry with me, all you perimenopausal old bags,
witches.
All right?
All you right, old hags.
Yeah, all you old hags. I see you. I didn't know this thing was called Claude. You've got this thing to tell us about ChatGPT versus Claude. They gave it some questions or some prompts.
Yes.
And they like made them go head-to-head.
Every single field. So like grammar, story construction, storytelling, editing, then numerical shit, like number sequencing.
I just want to remind you, the last time you told us about the newest thing in AI, it was when ChatGPT-5 had just come out, and you were like, you got to select the personality that you want there.
Yes.
I remember that.
It all evolves very quickly.
See, Leanne, I pay attention to you.
Claude, I've never used Claude myself.
No. I know a guy called Claude. He's a he's a famous South African soccer player from the 70s. That's all I know about him.
So everything was put to the test. Human intelligence, emotional testing, psychology.
Oh.
Things that you know, would never think that an AI could do.
Yeah.
Put to major test. And out of the two, Claude won.
Of course Claude won. Has it got the cooler name?
Yeah, I mean, who wants to be called
ChatGPT? You know how many people call it
Geppetti.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, in our office, Geppetti.
You know how many people get it wrong and call it ChatGPT?
It is ChatGPT.
GTP, sorry. They call it ChatGPTP. Oh, fuck me. Look who's here. It's Ben.
How's it, guys?
Look, how's it, Ben?
How's it?
Hey, New York, how was it?
I feel like I've now lived life now that I've been there.
Yeah, I told you it was cool.
First time. So amazing. Like, actually mind-blowing. I thought Rome was incredible, and it is.
Yeah.
But that place is just everything and everything.
It really is the center of the universe, huh?
It's like what humans should have done more of, maybe, and being less shit and lazy. Like, it's just so hard to look at that place and then try to think that we live in the same world.
It is. New York is, well, it certainly used to be. I can't say.
You've been so many times.
I used to go every year.
Yeah.
I love the place.
I want to go every year.
Yeah, there's an energy to it which is just absolutely astonishing.
Because I've never been, but like some people have said, it's like panic attack inducing. It's that hectic.
Man, you go to perimenopausal women's meetings and you get a panic attack. No, it's not panic inducing. It's fascinating. I mean, listen, there are people, I'm sure there are people with all kinds of mental health conditions in New York. In fact, you meet them on the subway.
Oh, yes.
They are. The ones
you just
are,
have to walk
did you
the
take
streets.
The subway?
The
all?
Ones on the crack. I did everything. I did subway.
Oh, okay.
Because I flew into Newark Airport.
Okay.
And then took the train.
Right,
and then we
from
took
Jersey.
Subways. Yeah, but like the people on the crack, they're always talking to each of themselves.
Mm.
So one guy.
So if they can handle it, Leanne, I don't think it would be massively anxiety-inducing.
Remember my brother being like 10 years old, walking down one of the streets with my mom.
Well, it is.
And some homeless person shouted at him and said, "Get out the road, you fucking Jew."
Jesus.
This is a 10-year-old.
Holy
he's
shit.
Not Jewish.
And I mean, you know, you've got to meet an anti-Semitic New Yorker in order to really have lived. It is like the most energetic place.
Mm.
Yeah.
The most. Even when you're in Central Park and people are supposedly relaxing and they're lying on the lawn, they're shouting at each other.
That's just like a lot for me, hey?
It is, but I'm fascinated by tall buildings. I really am. I'm fascinated by architecture, and there's just so much on display there. Like, my neck hurt. Like, I kept looking up.
Uh-huh.
There's parts of it that are just like, how? There was this building. Okay, so if you go down Fifth Avenue towards Central Park, there's the Louis Vuitton store.
Yeah.
And then they've basically wrapped a building as Louis Vuitton luggage.
Mm-hmm.
There is 10 floors of Louis Vuitton luggage. Hey, look at this, like there, and then there's Trump Tower over there. Like, none of it feels real. But then you stand there for 20, 30 seconds looking like a fucking dumbass, staring at the shit, and you go, this is actually a thing. And you walk past the Plaza Hotel, and all these little things that you've seen perhaps in movies or TV shows, mm-hmm. and it's actually real. Like, it's a real thing. It was the most incredible weekend visually of my entire life, just
weekend.
Taking
a look. So you just spent a weekend there.
Flew in on Friday, and then flew in on – yeah, I went there for the Ryder Cup.
How was that? Because
Jeepers, Gareth.
I saw a lot of posts, not just from you, not people who – you were the only person I knew who was actually there, but I saw a bit of it on TV, and people were very angry about the crowd and how rude they were to the Europeans – and the shouting.
All real.
And the, yeah, you were there.
All real. Yeah, I mean, look, there's two things. The Yanks were getting dicked. So their fans had nothing to cheer about. Justin Thomas made the point, like, they let them down, the players.
Mm.
So they had nothing to cheer about. So they only just, they just turned on them.
Yeah.
But it's just, Americans are quite doff. I was trying to describe this to a friend of mine yesterday. So the European fans are really funny, right? Because they've grown up in pubs. They've grown up drinking far too early for their own good. But they also watch football. They're also ragging each other to like an inch of their lives. So they've got great chance. They've got great banter. And they're just jovial, fun people. The ones that can afford to travel, obviously. And then you get the Americans. Like, they're just doff. Like, they just only have like USA as a chant. And then nothing else, really. And the Europeans were just ragging them. But like, taking the piss. It was like being at like a high school sports day. With like childish cheerleaders, and then like the adults who were drinking were actually taking them on. But if you're a sports fan like me, to go to these events it's so hard to put into words how great it is. You look around and the sheer scale of people. There was like 60,000 people there on that golf course that day, which doesn't sound a lot when you think like, Ellis Park,
a concert.
It is, and it's just the intensity of it all and the importance of the event and how everyone is there really gives a shit. Like, so invested.
And how much money is being made off of these things?
Bajillions, Leanne.
Bajillions.
It is so stupidly expensive. Like, in America, so the Ryder Cup in Europe is better. If you want to go to one of the two, go to the European one. In every single way, the European Ryder Cup is better, unless you like being in America. But America is also twice as expensive. They really pull the ring on you there. The entrance ticket was $750 for the day. That's just the entrance ticket. Hospitality then goes all the way up to tens into hundreds of thousands. It's like 300 rand a beer.
My God.
Merchandise is actually pretty reasonable if you like that kind of stuff.
The merch.
So yeah, it's guys, like, on the rand, we're fucked. I mean, I've been saying this for years now. You try travel, it's tough. It's very tough. There's nowhere around it.
Put that in your chat GPT or Claude.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you.
But like, when you go to these events, you realize how tiny we are as a country, what we do, everything.
Did you see any other South Africans there except the people you were with?
So, again, going back to Europe, you'll see loads. Not so much in America. There was two Oaks and Springbok jerseys because some Oaks just caught out for themselves. And that was it. I didn't hear any Afrikaans, which is very weird. Just so many Americans and then Brits and Irish. Like, the French and the Spanish don't really travel because they're not that into sport like the pub people.
Yeah, too
also
busy.
Also, they think their countries are the best in the world.
Yeah, but the French and Spanish in particular, they're always getting laid. They don't need to travel.
They're just having also sex true. And baguettes and paellas. And
if they're not eating, they're having sex. That's what French and Spanish people do. Sleeping.
Napping.
Yeah, that's it. The three things. Sex, sleeping,
and if they can
eating.
Do it, carry on.
Sure.
Carry on. So yeah, it was quite a experience.
Now, Leanne was telling us about AI a second ago. We can get back to that in a second, but I did tell her about how you you're basically you are jet setting around the world.
Very good time.
Like a madman at the moment. You're off to the Singapore Grand Prix next.
Today, yeah.
That you're going today.
Today. Yeah. Wow.
Jesus. And
like have you actually unpacked anything?
So the Singapore Grand Prix on its own would be a phenomenon, but the entertainment that is being laid on there is out of this world.
Yeah, I mean Sunday night I'm gonna see Sir Elton's John.
Oh, okay.
Sir Elton's John.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it is, Gareth. It's look, Singapore itself, it's also just a crazy place. It's built up so quickly, so in a tidal area.
I was there just recently, and it's just such a well-functioning place.
It is. It really is. But it is a tropical jungle at the same time.
Yeah.
So this, we'll get into it when we get into the sport, but like it is probably the most unique race on the F1 circuit. I mean, sure, Monaco's great, the heritage, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Las Vegas tries hard, but Singapore is...
There's an amazing seafood restaurant. Well, there are about three. It's like a little conglomerate of seafood restaurants. But you're talking crabs about this big that they bring to you. And aprons and gloves and...
It's a serious STD if the crabs are that big.
And then a side of gonorrhea.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Master's guacamole.
It's really... This is... You know... Leanne, you can always be relied upon to really get me excited about the right thing.
Go with the crabs.
Oh, I've got something for you too. Can we get back to your AI thing just now?
Oh, no, I'm done. Claude won.
Claude is better. Is that all you wanted to tell us?
That's all I wanted
Across
to tell
all
you.
The categories, Claude wins.
Yes. Well, I mean, not all of them, but overall.
If your name is Claude, now you know you're better than ChatGPT.
Geppetti.
Okay, very good. I have a special surprise for you two. You know, I'm always looking out for ways to make your Friday. No, much better. Even better than that. I've got Sylvia from last week.
Oh,
remember
yes.
From the Montel Jordan show?
That's why I'm here.
Sylvia is the reason. I know it's the reason most people have come to the show this morning and have not missed out on the live show because you can watch the show later. But then everyone will already be talking about Sylvia and you'll be like, what? So here she is, the great psychic from the Montel Jordan show all those years ago. I keep my AI, whatever it is, that's my algorithm that's working silently in the background is just churning this shit out. I send them to James Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we get here on a Friday and we got a ton of them. But I have two in particular I want you to see today. Take it away, Sylvia.
Father's brother disappeared about 20-something years ago, and the whole family has no idea whether he's alive or dead.
He drowned.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Sylvia, my parents divorced when I was 2 years old, and I don't know my biological father.
You don't want to.
Okay. Not
you
at all.
You don't.
Thank you.
She's such a life wrecker.
Justice.
She doesn't give a shit about her job.
And then I
she's not even waiting in the second one.
I did see a great interview.
He drowned.
You got the voice right now. There we go. She's got it spot on. So let me. So Sylvia, my child was stillborn. I just want to know if he managed to make it to heaven or to hell.
He's in hell.
I always love to thank you at the end. The person doesn't know what to say, so they just go, like, thank you.
And they're like a deer in the headlights. They're staring at her going...
They've waited for like 6 years
to get on the show. Yeah, she wasn't on social
media. Sylvia
will
know. Sylvia will know.
Exactly. Yeah. They've been desperate to find... And you can imagine if someone died, like moments they wanted to tell you something, and then their last breath, but they couldn't make it, and you've been obsessing over this thing. And then you go to Sylvia, and she's like, he drowned.
Sylvia.
You don't want to know him.
Life's greatest closure is Sylvia.
I'm telling you, like, we need more people like her in the world today. Things would be a lot easier. People struggle to make decisions.
My stomach actually hurts.
All right, have we gotten that other one? Okay, last one. A special treat for Friday.
Sylvia, I want to ask you a question of my mother. She's been sick for a while now.
And my mother could tell you anything that happened 100 years ago. But for now, she cannot tell you.
No, short-term memory loss.
Yeah. Will she ever get better and have her passion for life again?
No, honey, no. I don't want to be cruel, but I have to tell you the truth. Your mother's getting ready to, you know, go over. She doesn't have that much longer, honey.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Sylvia.
Of the caption, Sylvia Brown uncovering mysteries. No, she's just fucking killing dreams.
I mean, this girl's like, my mom's memory's going, but you know, she could live for a while. She's like, nah, she's got like 2 days to
go. She's on her way.
Give up on that. I did see an interview with her because now I'm obviously a massive fan. And she was talking about what she wants to have. I think she's dead now. Sylvia, that is.
Of course she is. She's in hell.
But they interviewed her, and she's like, well, my kids, I didn't know she had kids. My kids asked me what they want me to, what I wanted them to do with me when I'm dead. I said, just throw the ashes over the neighbor's wall. She goes, I never liked the neighbors anyway. So wow. She's clearly like a one of a kind. I mean, it's just spectacular.
I want to have dinner with her. You know, the dead or alive.
Yeah, Sylvia.
I would want
there.
Sylvia.
James, see if you can find out whether she's alive or dead.
But like, what's her backstory? Yeah. Like, caravan on the side of the highway, crystal ball, and then suddenly, like, met Montel?
I don't know. So look up Sylvia Montel Jordan Show, and then they should give it a surname.
Out of respect, Sylvia Brown with an E at the end. That's
oh,
her name.
Brown. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I can't even Ben type. Knows. I'm crying.
Sylvia Brown.
I just wrote Stivia.
Why are you crying?
Stivia instead of Sylvia. Oh, gosh. That woman just ruined man. People's
Such
lives.
A great old woman's name as well.
She died
Sylvia.
In 2013.
Ah, shit.
At the age of 77? Okay.
Well, she knew that. She knew when she'd had it.
I was trying to explain to someone this week about that doctor who has the fat people that he's always trying to help
Doctor
with.
Doctor Now.
It. Yeah, because you got the voice so right the other day. Then I was trying to do the voice and I couldn't. And I wished I could just phone you. I should have actually.
You got to stop eating. You got to stop.
I can't decide whether I like your Sylvia more.
How many calories you have? How many calorie? You cannot tell me you're eating nothing. What the air is having calories. Oh god.
Okay, while we're doing this.
You're crying.
Yeah, I know, I love it. Give me Lucy Hirsch.
Oh, Lucy Hirsch. Oh well, it's just in time.
Just in time for? There's always a sale. Halloween.
Ha. It's nearly Halloween. We've got the spookiest specials you've ever seen. Get to Hirsch's store now. You can buy a DeFi fridge. You can buy a Sony. You can buy a TV if you want. But all are on special. Only at Hirsch's. We love bringing you savings.
Okay, beautiful. All right, I mean, I've got everything I wanted out of this hour. Have we got Dr. Hanan? I got it now. I've got to do a Montel Jordan for Dr. Hanan Sylvia here because we've got an email from somebody this morning. Let me just pile into this. Give me an indication as soon as Dr. Hanan's on because I really don't want to. If I read this whole thing, we'll be here until Christmas. Someone called Tanya has sent me a 23-page document that I've got to communicate to Dr. Hanan. There's so much going on here, but Tanya, if you could just put it into ChatGPT for us, or Claude, as we've learned this morning, and summarize it, that might be helpful.
Yeah, but like simple question, Tanya, I know it's taken you weeks to do this, but what did you think is going to happen on the other side? Was Gareth going to spend an hour
unpacking this? But she's publishing a book next June, she says, it'll be like Lord of the Rings, it'll be in three parts. So each part will be a good 1,050 pages. And all of this is just to ask Dr. Hanan a question. But if you have an issue, I mean, we don't want to put you off. So if you have an issue and you want to get help from Dr. Hanan, you can get hold of us. James, put up your email address, James. Let them see. because you can send this Muppet, I mean this James, you can send him an email.
And he will.
We're going to change your email address to Muppet at the Real All right, there it is.
James, have you got anything filthy in there yet?
Use and abuse the email address, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
You haven't got anything filthy from anyone?
I responded to someone in James' email the other day. Terrible email. It was just directionless. It was pointless. And I had to tell them.
Oh. I would suggest if you're a perimenopausal woman, this is the best email address for you to send anything at all.
Yeah.
You know, topless pictures, whatever. Send it to james@thereal-network.com.
Let's have some fun in life, guys.
Yeah. All right. So, Dr. Hanan, I see you are ready and waiting for this long, unbelievably detailed email from Tanya, who says, my mother-in-law suffers from depression. Although I believe it is real, I also believe that she declares this daily and then leverages it against the people closest to her. It is true that COVID played a role in closing their business and that this has caused much hardship and now financial pressure. However, I think about it, in 10 years that I've known her, she's never actually been happy. She tends to focus only on the negatives in her life, and she gets upset when we don't wallow with her. Her standard state of mind is pity. Then there are about 12 more paragraphs, Dr. Hanan, but I'm going to skip ahead here because Tanya is very verbose. She says, I want Dr. Hanan to guide me on how we, the nuclear family, deal with a person that is severely depressed. I think she's depressed because Tanya doesn't shut up, but maybe I'm being unkind. How can you help?
All right, let me take it over from here. So when it comes to depression, what happens a lot of times is, you know, my philosophy is you got to take responsibility. You don't look backwards. You look at what you can control right now in order to move forwards, because we can always stitch our life backwards in any shape and any way we want. But you're wasting time, energy, coins in doing that. Rather spend your time, energy, coins into progressing, doing better, leveling up, being a better version of yourself. Fine. Now, when it comes to people that suffer from depression, a lot of the times they revert to being very childlike, where it's all about me and it's all about my pain. And you can understand that, because when you're in pain, then it is all about you. When you stub your toe in something, then it is all about you. When you have a toothache, then it is all about you. When you have a headache, then it's all about you, 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 you. So what happens with people that suffer from mental health conditions, then it becomes all about them, and they're unable to actually look at other people's needs, other people's wants. And like children, they can't actually project forward. So they can't see how having a tantrum or playing victim affects other people. To Tanya, you're already stuck between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, you want to help your mom, who is obviously maybe lacks
the mother-in-law.
Yeah. Or help your mother-in-law because she lacks the maybe emotional maturity to help herself. But on the other hand, you want to protect what's yours, because you understand that having children in your environment steal coins away from you and your tribe. And one thing that you have to understand with children is that they can't help themselves. But unlike children, where we can actually put them in the naughty corner and get them to behave, with adults that have leverage, it's much more difficult. So what I would suggest to Tanya is one of two things. One, force your mother-in-law to go and get appropriate help, because you must understand, while she feels, your mother-in-law that is, while she feels she can fly her own plane, it's impossible. She will crash every time, because the mind that created the problem is the mind that cannot fix the problem. So she can't help herself. So we either force her to behave, or what I would advise for you is that you set very healthy boundaries and you pull back and you protect your own tribe. Because again, you must understand that these individuals, at least your mother-in-law, what she doesn't do, she will not protect you and your tribe. She won't protect your kids, your marriage, your health, your work, your financial security. And unless you protect it, it will be taken away from you. So again, set boundaries, force her to get the appropriate help and take responsibility, and or pull back and look after your own.
Oh, okay. I was pretty sure you were going to go for the pour water on her while she's sleeping and attach a car battery to the bed frame, but Evidently, that wasn't on your agenda this morning.
Jesus,
okay,
Gareth, you really missed your calling.
I know. I could have been such a great therapist. And by the way, Tanya also
Sylvia
says
your
here,
mom.
What?
Is Sylvia your mom?
So by the way, she says here, I don't think she's making it up, but I am convinced this is the mental health condition that the old dragon that she has to live with is dealing with. She says, I am convinced that now it is a bit made up, a cry for attention. I don't know. What can we do to help her? I think, Doc, you've kind of answered this, but what if this old bag is making it up? What if she's actually an attention seeker? What do you do about that?
Well, whether she's making up the title, I'm depressed, or whether she's trying to manipulate her environment to enable this depression, the strategy and the treatment is still the same. You force her to get help with conditions. If you don't get help, then we're going to pull back. Or if she doesn't get the appropriate help, then you've got to pull back and protect your own. Protect your own tribe, because she's not going to look after your tribe. But again, get her the appropriate help. Get her to a psychiatrist. Get her to a psychologist. Make sure that she's progressing forward, moving forward, taking responsibility. Again, how many times do I have to say this on the show? If you want freedom, if you want all the goodies that life has to offer, then you go to the other side of the coin, is you got to take responsibility. If you don't want to take responsibility, then don't complain about not having the goodies. That is just the way life works.
Right. I just need to ask you for a refresher quickly, because I was talking to someone about your seven things that everybody needs. You know, the seven things that you say we need to focus on if we want to be happy and we want to feel contented and successful and you want to have a meaningful life and all of that. What are the seven things again? Because I forgot them like an idiot. I thought one of them was throwing your mother-in-law in the boot and dropping her off in Hillbrow, but clearly that's not one. So what are the seven?
That's not one of them. Okay, so there are 15 in total. You were close.
Oh, so, fucking hell. I was completely off. 15. I thought there were seven. No wonder I've been so miserable my whole life.
This was the couple.
There are 15.
We call them anchors. And these anchors are things that we need. They give us sustenance, psychological sustenance. We have to plug into them. And this is what gives us a purpose and meaning in life. We chase. There are 9 core anchors and 6 sub anchors. The 9 core anchors are non-negotiable for everybody. The 6 are negotiable. Not everybody needs them, but they're kind of like a top up on the 9.
Okay.
The 9 are career.
Career.
Financial security. Family.
No wonder I didn't know about that one. Okay.
Friends.
I'm writing these down. I'm serious, yeah?
Romantic. Companionship.
Obviously, that's been missing for me for years. And what else?
Diet. Exercise.
Yeah.
Sleep. Medical health. Those are the 9. And the 6 are religion or faith, hobbies, interest, art, culture, creativity, and sport, self-development, relaxation, meaningful pursuits, and your physical environment. I'll WhatsApp it to you.
He can't wait for your slow typing like a mongoloid.
Get Claude involved.
What did I say? Like a chimpanzee at a typewriter. Yeah, that's Dr. Hernan is like, do you know how much I charge for an hour? And this fucking idiot's going like this.
He just went faster and faster.
I think you went a bit faster at the end, Dr. Hernan. You left me behind. All right. Well, thank you for helping, Tanya. In future, I'm going to have Tanya email you, because I don't want to be the go-between. My memory of my mail seized up after her email.
I walked in this morning and all I could hear, Gareth hadn't even seen me yet. And all I could hear was, these people coming to us for help.
All right, but that was an interesting question. Let's face it. I mean, the mother-in-law angle is a good angle.
Common reality as well, I would imagine out there. Huh?
Yeah. All right, Doc, thanks very much.
You know what? Can I just say one more thing? Because you did raise a very important, pertinent issue. It is a very common issue where you have a family member that is struggling, isn't able to take responsibility for themselves, and we just give them the privilege and we think that they can help themselves, but a lot of the times they can't. And if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it is a duck. In other words, if you've tried to give them the responsibility and they're not taking it, then take responsibility for them. Set the boundaries for them. And if they don't take responsibility, then pull back and look after your own, because the cost that it will have on your own tribe, it doesn't make any sense for you to keep on investing in the person at the cost of your tribe.
Right. Spot on. There we go. This is what we need Dr. Hanan for every week. Thank you, Doc. Have an awesome weekend.
Okay, guys. You too, guys. All right. Bye.
How would Sylvia have dealt with Tanya's email?
What was her name again?
Tanya.
Oh, don't worry, Tanya. You're dying next week.
I think you could... Leanne, I think we found a...
Yeah, it's going to be a bus.
This is the job for you. I mean, I think people would watch. You know, we live in a very superstitious country, right?
Oh, yeah. People will fall for that
shit. Oh, for sure. You know all these they call themselves prophets. They don't even call themselves pastors, right?
Yeah.
These guys who they have these huge congregations. They fill a stadium every weekend. These people are paying $100 a time or whatever. And these guys make a prediction about – there was a thing last week. There was some dude here in South Africa who said it was going to be the rapture.
Yes.
Did you see this?
It was a South African pastor.
Right, he said.
And it took over social media, but the Americans were the ones who fell the hardest.
Yes, and his name was Ogodigwa Ugawuguwugwa.
They sold their goods.
Something. What was his name? Do you remember it? Anyway, he made this prediction that the rapture, you know what the rapture is, right?
It's like the second coming of when
it's like all the good people get taken up into the sky.
Yeah. There we go.
We worked out that we were rapture proof a long time ago.
Exactly. This show was. But I got to tell you, a lot of people, they sold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They spent all the money on their credit card. They
said their goodbyes.
They didn't write their exams that day that they studied for weeks for. They were like, no, the rapture's coming. And of course, I really think that if you're going to be the sort of person who calls yourself a prophet, when it doesn't happen, the congregation should be allowed to tie you to a stock in the middle of the town or whatever.
Turn on you.
Yeah, what is he
and
saying
And throw
now?
Vegetables at you. Surely this guy can't. If you go back to him now after the rapture didn't happen, what, you're just going to keep going to church and listening to him?
What were the signs that the rapture was going to happen this time?
He worked out numbers based on scripture that so many years after the foundation of the state of Israel, that was some kind of sign that Jesus was coming again, and this time he was going to take everyone. And he worked out according to, I don't know, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Ecclesiastes, who knows which chapter, but he found a bunch of numbers and did a calculation. And he said 25th of September was the day. So, I mean, here we are on the 3rd of October and he's still here.
Maybe the rapture did happen, but it was like three people.
Yeah, and in a very far away place that we don't actually know.
Actually, there's someone missing right now in KZN, a 71-year-old, maybe.
Really?
Maybe it's a really tough criteria, guys. It's like a proper selection process, this.
What do they say? Heaven, we need our space in heaven. There was a brilliant poem
getting
about
into heaven is like getting a camel through the eye of a needle, isn't it?
Yes, and it should be – you don't want too many people in there. I mean, if I get to heaven, which is highly unlikely –
and you've waited your whole life to get
and
there.
And I've worked hard and done all the things because there's lots of rules. No matter what you happen to believe, there's always a bunch of rules, right? So if I get there and now – and everyone, including Tanya's mother-in-law, is there, I'm going to be like –
and Sylvia.
And Sylvia's – then I'm going to be like, nah, this wasn't worth it. It's got to be exclusive. It's like you get into the VIP of the club and it's just you. That's cuck. But if you get in and it's everybody, you're like, this is even cucker.
I remember when I was a believer as a child and when I saw that passage about getting into heaven, it's like getting a camel through the eye of the needle. That's when I gave up. It's just
there
like,
we go.
Oh, that's impossible.
Yeah. Oh, you got the pastor? Oh, his name. Yeah, because I always get his name wrong. But here's the pastor's name, in case you don't know.
That's good. So, where are you from?
Where are you from?
Yes.
I'm from Edo State.
Edo State? Okay, interesting. So, what is your name?
My name?
Yes, your name.
Pardon?
Come again. I mean, what is your name? Your name?
All right. That's the pastor. Here's the poem that I was thinking of. We are the pure and chosen few, and all the rest are damned. There's room enough in hell for you. We don't want heaven crammed.
Yeah.
Pretty much putting my words down beautifully there. I love it. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, Ben, do you want to tell us what's going on in sport?
So much this weekend, Gareth. I'm so glad you asked. You know, this is going to be the third Springbok game in a row that I'm going to miss.
Oh.
I'm quite bummed about that.
Oh, well.
I mean, I'm going to go too
upset.
It's
not as if you're going to hell. You're doing all these cool things.
You're right. It's not like I'm sitting with Tanya's mother-in-law.
Exactly.
I'm doing cool things. But, yeah, this weekend, the Springboks have been, in my absence of watching them, they've absolutely thrashed the living shit out of teams. So maybe I'm actually a bad omen.
You know, sometimes my mother says, oh, well, I was wearing Springbok colors and that's why they won. And I always go, but maybe there's something, you know, like the rapture. Maybe it's a few people who are divinely touched and are able to affect the outcome of massive sports games. Maybe it's when you don't pay attention or you can't watch, then they just...
Yeah, I mean, I'm such an intense character. It's obviously the burden that I place on these Oaks. Because they've run riot in the last two matches, hey? They thrashed New Zealand in New Zealand. And then Argentina came to Durban last week and they wish they hadn't. They got 60 points in the face.
Unbelievable.
So this weekend, Rugby Championship comes to the thrilling crescendo where the box will be raptured into glory. So essentially, if they just get a bonus point win, they win the Rugby Championships. If Australia really, really hammers New Zealand and the Boks do nothing against Argentina, Australia can win it.
Hmm.
If New Zealand Australia is the game 11:45 in Australia, it's in Perth, so that's going to be a really, really tight match. I think the Aussies have been very good this year without being too spectacular, but this is going to be a good one for them to finish this whole thing on. So, New Zealand winning that one's probably likely, and then if the All Blacks get 5 points and we only get a draw, we also don't win. But, I mean, all these permutations are just very boring things to get through.
What happens to all the South Africans in Perth? Because there are a lot of them, right? It's one of the most South African
places.
They're
probably not going to get raptured, yeah.
No, of course they won't. I mean, they can't even choose the right country, let alone heaven or hell. But who do they support is the question.
Always the green and gold. But in a game like Australia versus New Zealand.
The green and gold is Australia as well.
I know, but I mean, they're more canary yellow. Look, in a game where the Boks are playing, obviously what you know comes to fruition again. I would say, and again, against New Zealand, they'll be Australians.
All right. Okay. I'm asking.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the Rugby Championship this weekend. Like, you can fixate over the details, but other than that, I would just say enjoy the process of the Boks just going from strength to strength.
Kicking ass and taking numbers.
All of that. They're a joy to behold, and they always have been. Sure, they had some slip-ups earlier in the season, but that was more about just ironing out a few things. I think they've got a slightly different team now than what they thought the A-team was like 2-3 months ago.
Sure.
And boy, this A-team it's just getting everything done. So that game, the Bok game, a little bit earlier this week, 3 o'clock, and it will be at Twickenham because Argentina get more money if they go play in London. I won't that one out. But speaking of money, clearly the brown envelopes didn't work.
Oh, no. So don't say it.
The Bafana got docked those 3 points, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So even like we were talking about this a few weeks ago, about the fact that when they played Lesotho, they fielded an ineligible player. So a guy got 2 yellow cards, it means you've got to sit out.
Right.
And they were like, nah, cool, go play. So the rules are the rules. And the strange thing is, which Hugo Bruce, the coach of Bafana, brought up, is like, FIFA have these meetings on an ongoing basis about who needs to be sanctioned, who's brown enveloping here, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And they never, ever brought up the fact that South Africa fell foul of the rules. So everyone just thought like, it'll be okay, maybe a fine. And then out of nowhere this week, it's like taking away 3 points rather than winning 2-0, whatever it is, you've now lost 3-0.
Maybe Danny or Don didn't give them enough in the brown envelope.
Or maybe there was a series of brown enveloping and then we didn't go to the final hurdle.
Maybe this is linked to Natim Tetwa. We don't know.
Same week,
Gareth. Pure speculation.
Same week.
Maybe this is linked to Natim Tetwa, Tanya's mother-in-law.
The rapture.
The rapture and Sylvia.
Well, if Sylvia was here, she'd be able to clarify that for us.
But tell you what.
In Sylvia's horrible absence, the reality is that because the goal difference is so rough now, because we beat them by 2 goals, now we've lost by 3. So now we're in arrears of 5, if maths is something you do.
But,
so
now, but hang on, Benin, does this mean we're going to get in by a ball hair lose by a ball
hair? We could. There's ball hairs on the table. Oh. Whether they're going to go our way or not, I'm not sure.
Ew.
So Benin right now, Benin ball hairs, Benin are on 14 points. Okay. So Benin's ball hairs are currently on top at 14 points. And their goal difference is 4. South Africa's also got 13 points, but our goal difference is 3. So if Benin and SA do exactly the same from here, Benin goes to the World Cup. South Africa does not.
The president of Benin called
and he will be at their next game against Rwanda on the 10th of October. So there's 2 games left, right? So ball hairs aside, the fate is still in their hands technically. So Benin take on Rwanda 10th of October at home. Then they take on Nigeria 14th of October away. So we're all kind of hoping that Nigeria does the right thing there and beats them. And then South Africa has Zimbabwe away, but because Zimbabwe is a toilet, they're playing that in Durban. That'll be on the 10th of October. And then Rwanda, 14th of October at home as well.
Mm.
So that's the long and the short of it, Gareth. I know it's been burning inside of you, but that is the situation.
I have been worried about this because it would be a fantastic thing for South Africa to make it into the World Cup.
Not since 2010.
Exactly. Embarrassing. And
not since Shakira's honest hips touched this ground a World Cup to be excited about.
And Leanne does a pretty good Shakira impersonation as well.
Let's see. All right. That was 15 years ago.
Right. That's the one. Anyway, I do have to quickly draw attention to something really disturbing here. So Marius has dropped us a message in the chat this morning. Says, James does not read his emails. You have still not shown my car guard interview. James, head up your ass.
James, what is it about it? Is this fun for you, or do you just, like, are you on heavy Ritalin? Like, what's the story?
That puppy of yours would be better at comms than you are. Flex, can I hand over the important stuff to you, honestly? I know your plate's full. But
that doesn't solve the problem, and I'm very curious. Because James will just laugh like he just did there. That's
what is your answer? You know what we're going to do? We're going to have Dr. Hanan on next week about accountability. Huh?
But are you saving children in Benin?
Yeah, what are you doing that's more important than your job? Always some bullshit. Always. Anyway. So, Marius, you have my sympathies, and we'll figure out what happened. Anyway, back to you, Ben.
Yeah, guys. So, yeah, I mean, look, we had to tackle that, and it is. So, it's kind of in our hands, but at the same time, if Benin does very, very well here, their ball hairs go to America and ours don't.
Damn.
That's pretty much the cut and thrust of football right now, which would be a huge shame because, you know, the Boks have been so good. The Proteas won a trophy. Everyone's been really, really on a high with our national teams. And the next thing to happen was Bafana going to the World Cup. And if that doesn't happen, it's such a bummer.
Right.
But let's not talk about bummers. So Singapore Grand Prix, okay? So it's the 7th last race of the season. Now, I know it's all about McLaren. Basically, Lando, Piastri, no charisma or excitement there. But those Oaks are good. They've got the best car. So the Constructors' Championship is out of the window. It'll probably be decided this weekend because they're so far ahead. But the Drivers' Championship is still kind of mathematically in the mix. So Max Verstappen is worse than Benin. He's got to do a lot more. Okay, so Piastri's on 324 points, Norris on 299, and Verstappen's on 255. Now, Max has picked up 35 points on the sort of lifeless Australian in the last 2 races. But he needs to carry this on now, hectically. Now, the thing about the Singapore Grand Prix is that it's a night race, it's a street race, and it's a very long race. So there's a limit to every Formula One you have.
That's why you have to have Elton John in between.
Well, Elton's John will be there in the interim.
Sir Elton John's.
But basically, there's a 2-hour cap. So a race cannot go longer than 2 hours. Obvious reasons. I mean, it's a lot of like wear and tear on the body.
Jeez, man. It's not Lord of the Rings, exactly. Like I was saying to Tanya.
It's not Tanya's email.
No.
You mean they can't figure out how long it's going to be?
Well, I mean, Leanne, there's certain laps. I mean, per race. Yeah. Not every race is like a rugby match where it's 80 minutes. Mm. So the tracks are different and there's different demands. But this race is the most grueling because it pushes the longest towards that two-hour gap. Mm. But now another thing about it is that you sweat your balls off in Singapore, right?
Yes.
Even Betty Swallocks.
Even more, more so in a suit.
Yes, okay. So now, these guys get into these cars, which are already furnaces, right? So you think they're going at 340 kilometers an hour. That creates heat.
Yeah.
So by the time you then put that car onto a street race with concrete and all that kind of stuff, in Singapore's climate, they predict that the cockpits are getting up to 60 degrees. So basically, you're cooking. in a sauna for 2 hours.
I walked around, you know, the kind of city center of Singapore with the gardens and the big lights and everything.
Yeah.
I walked around at night for about 20 minutes in a light summer dress, and you could squeeze my sweat out of the dress.
So for the F1s, you can squeeze everything. So what they've done is that they've been trying to, since I think it was Qatar 2023, Oaks were losing the plot because they're also puss hot, right? Mm. One guy vomited in his helmet.
Oh.
Another guy basically shat himself. It was a mess.
Don't and they couldn't carry climate on. Climate control.
So this is what they got. So they got these vests, right? Oh. So they've been trialing these vests to put on. And this is the week where they feel that most guys are going to wear them. It's not mandatory yet because, you know, health and safety in these sports is huge. Oh. But you put this vest on, and basically what it does is there's pipes around your body which then have cool water going through. But now here's the slight catch, which people are slightly worried about, is that because the race is quite long, if this cooling system stops working halfway through,
you basically boil.
You now have got water that's now going to get hot.
Oh.
So it's lovely in theory, but can you imagine that? Like, you got the suit on, you're nice and cool, you're 40 laps in, but then suddenly this is now on you. So
that doesn't sound good.
There are so many dynamics in this
sounds
race.
This sounds very medieval. Honestly, you know, you've got these amazingly advanced cars that can go so incredibly fast. You've got drivers whose instincts and their reflexes are just like hair trigger stuff. Everything is maximally technologically advanced, and then they don't know how to make it cold. I mean, really. the Oku put in my aircon could help them.
Well, so this is the thing, right?
I think his name is Diervolt, so I'll give him a call. Okay, I'm sure he can fucking help.
Diervolt, Diervolt on the pits. Yeah. But essentially, if you think about these cars, right, and these guys, it's all down to the most microgram of weight because that has performance implications. So they want to put these vests on. Now, suddenly, the car dynamic changes slightly. So if they want to put a Leica air conditioning unit in, Gareth, that car's going to be all the wind tunnel stuff, all the fucking driver, testing.
If the drivers go to that restaurant and eat big crabs the night before, then it's going to all go to shit.
But then, so that's the thing. They avoid the crabs, but now if they want to get a Leica aircon unit in there, they're going to have to redo the entire car. So the millions and millions and millions that they spend. So, yeah.
I think there's a massive gap here for Diervolt's company to get some branding on the cars. Honestly, dude.
Diervolt's just get into the FIA, I'm sure.
I mean, these days you get a Daewoo Matiz from the car rental company for R100 a day, and they have aircon in. How come the Formula One car doesn't?
But they also can't go around a corner at 270.
Doesn't a Bajaj have
aircon? No, it's got windows.
Doesn't
it's
have
just got a window and terminal velocity.
All right.
All right. So there's also a really big weekend for football outside of the fact that Bafana sphincter is very tight around ramifications. But English Premier League. So as we know right now, Liverpool are basically floundering. They can't win. The players they spent all the money on. Basically, they spent Benin's GDP on a guy called Florian Wirtz. And James, he's done fuck all, right?
Like James.
Yeah, I see.
Like James.
See, so, I mean, this guy, this week he developed the nickname 007 because he's got zero goals, zero assists, and he's played seven games. And they literally paid the cost of Benin for him.
007.
Yeah, so rough times there. Hey? So this weekend, I mean, massive results in Europe, of course, Champions League this week, Arsenal winning again, Man City drawing, Liverpool losing. But in the Premier League this weekend, Leeds versus Spurs will be your first game at 1:30. Arsenal versus the West Ham at 4. And then Chelsea versus Liverpool, the game Liverpool does not want.
Yeah.
Chelsea, I know they've lost to Man United, but they're going to have a big backlash weekend. And that'll be at 6:30. And then lots of games on Sunday, but the best ones are going to be Newcastle versus Forest at 3. And then Brentford will be losing to Man City at 5:30. There's also Telkom Knockout Cup if you're into that locally. One of the greatest golf weeks of all the year. Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, which is played over Carnoustie, King's Barnes, and the Old Course. Basically, Johann Rupert takes over St. Andrews for a week. He brings all his mates in. So many golfers want to be a part of that, so the field is stacked. We've got Ryder Cup stars. We've got major winners. We've got SA's brightest talents. An amazing event. 168 players start. They play the three rounds, and then the fourth and final day of the best ones play at the Old Course. And then it's UFC 320 as well. Mirab Dvalishvili will be taking on Corey Sandhagen. And the fight that people have been wanting to see, but at the same time, they could miss it, it's Ankalaev versus Pereira. Now, Ankalaev is the most boring fighter in the UFC. Even Dana White hates him. And then, obviously, you got Alex Pereira, who is the Amazonian oak that everyone loves. But he lost last time because of a just technical fight that didn't really work for him. But he's going to come in here. He's going to blitz him the fuck out of this oak with his kickboxing skills. So, I mean, guys,
that's just a snapshot
of your weekend. It is going to be quite something. Go, Booker.
Nice.
And, next week, Bafana, back in it.
Well, Congo Chris says, James doesn't read my Instagram messages either. Hours of content for the show. I mean, this is like you go to see the headmaster about your child that, like, hits another kid at break. And then you find out that he's broken windows, shat in someone's lunchbox. James, this is very bad for you. It just looks very bad. Really, listen to this. Why not give us James and Flex's email? We can send them both stuff and see who actually cares. We have a poll in a week or two. Winner gets the gig. It's just unbelievable. Down in the mines with James the producer.
Keywords that actually cares.
Congo Chris says again, let me come in there and I'll bring my own shambok. I think we need a little discipline here.
Shambok to work day.
Yeah, I think bring shambok to work day. Beats the hell out of bring a girl child to work day.
Well,
I think this probably will be more popular for massive corporations to sponsor as well. Bring shambok to work day. I can see them lining up. Barlow. Discovery.
Thing, hey? You're like everyone dressed up for Heritage Day and all excited. Like you bring your own shambok. Personalize it with detailing.
All right. I've got some special treats for you too. The fun doesn't stop here. I don't know if you know this, but in Britain at the moment, they've decided, the British government, who have made arguably the worst decisions in all of British political history. Almost all of those cuck decisions have been made in the space of how long's Keir Starmer been around? A couple of months, right? All the cuck ones. So they're talking about a wealth tax of 80-90%. They're already bleeding billionaires and millionaires. I mean, Britain is not a place you want to be rich in anymore because you've got to pay for Vicky Pollard's health insurance, you know? And you've got to worry about Fatima from Pakistan, who's just got there and given birth to 23 children at once. And the reason I bring up Fatima from Pakistan is they've just passed a law in Britain that it is no longer illegal to marry your first cousin.
That's what they do. And have done for a long time.
This is an uncomfortable thing no one wants to talk about.
Well,
but
you get called an Islamophobist if you bring this up.
Yeah, well, this is why you come to this show, is because we don't care. You know, what you think of me is really none of my business. But it is...
Yeah, pardon my ignorance. Is it...
It's a big problem.
Is it a thing?
Yeah.
Is it culturally acceptable?
Just by the
acceptable?
Way, one of the reasons that... I mean, you seem shocked, and that's right. Mm. Because since about 600 AD... when the Western Christian Church decided, you know what, it's not such a good idea for the kids' genes if your parents are first cousins. Mm. It seems almost obvious, right? You know, it's almost like a joke we throw around to each other. Oh, did you see that? I guarantee you his parents are cousins.
Yeah.
But it's a thing. In Britain, they reckon that by far, two-thirds or more of the population of Pakistani particularly, but also Afghanistani, Indian. There are a lot of communities in Britain where it's rife, like two-thirds or more, they say. It's a massive problem. There have been documentaries made about...
Funny you should say that. I can tell you right now. 55,
give me the number.
55% of the Pakistani community in Britain is married to their first cousin.
There we go.
It's very
so,
weird.
So we're not just talking inbreeding with someone you're mildly related to.
This is a stat.
A grandparent, two grandparents.
I'll tell you something else. That 30% of all major birth recessive disorders and higher infant mortality... 30% of all of that in Britain of kids born are from Pakistani.
Yeah.
Okay, so the proof is in the pudding.
Yes, and these kids, there were documentaries that were made in the last 10 years, which you can look up on YouTube. Someone sent me a link yesterday about this because it's all in the news. They're trying to say in Britain, you know, I'm Keir Starmer and I'm very open-minded and I don't want anyone to call me xenophobic or racist. So I think having sex with your first cousin and producing an inbred mongoloid child is fine. That's what he says. So this is a big problem. Not a problem I thought we'd be dealing with in 2025. You would assume that most cultures in the world had figured out, because we now know how genes work, you know, thank you, Charles Darwin, 200 years ago for helping us with evolution.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, people were studying different kinds of peas, different kinds of finches. We kind of know now when the genes are too similar, you end up with these terrible conditions. So there's a high rate of blindness, deafness, a lack of ability to synthesize certain proteins. This is a massive shit show in Britain at the moment, and it's largely...
But also when it happens...
People from Middle Eastern countries and Pakistan. Just watch this video if you want to see what I mean about Pakistan. This is the most expensive school in Pakistan. And what they've done is they've actually asked the kids to stand up and say what they learned in school this year. Have a look.
I love Pakistan. I will sacrifice my life for Pakistan. I love Pakistan.
To sacrifice my own life for Pakistan.
That's a friend, great!
My plan is that I will be pilot, and I will help everyone. Pilot.
Yeah, he's a pilot, great!
I will pledge that I will be the, I will save my country.
You will save my
I will open as much educational institution as possible, and I'm proud to be a Pakistani!
The next
my pledge to my country is that when I will grow up, I will be the scientist like Dr. Abdul Qadir Khan, who helped Pakistan making the nuclear power.
Inshallah, we have a bright future. We are Allah.
My pledge is to my country that I will become a cricketer and I will make my country proud.
Wow, he's going to win the World Cup for the country.
I will love Pakistan until I die.
Last kid. Last kid was pretty succinct.
Yeah, the last. I understood the last one.
So they got a problem, people are not talking about this because obviously, you know, white Western liberals are terribly embarrassed to discuss this because it makes them seem like they're not culturally sensitive.
Mm.
Don't have sex with and produce children with your cousin. It's not a difficult thing to say. It's for your own good. Otherwise, you can end up with gonk retarded mongoloid. Down syndrome, chromo, retard nonsense going on in your family. Do you want that?
Yeah, I mean, Gareth, cousin sex, basically. Let's call it that.
Yeah,
intelligence goes down 10 to 16 IQ points.
There we go. So the Who can afford that?
The risk of having an IQ lower than 70 increases 400% amongst first cousin marriages.
Thank you.
And then when those cousins marry, you go into the minuses.
Domino effect. Pakistan.
Yeah. I love Pakistan! That's all I have to say.
I just keep asking this question. Who is Starmer's boss? Who is making this? Why is this happening? You can come at me all day for your conspiracy theory bullshit, whatever. But who's pulling these strings?
Don't know. It's so bad.
I read somewhere that...
Sylvia from Beyond the Grave. Must be.
Sylvia wouldn't do this to us. But it's just it's so clear how stupid and wrong it is.
Yeah, right.
Anybody with half a brain, those kids over there, if they were actually took 3 seconds to breathe in and breathe out and think about it, they know it's wrong. So who's sanctioning this? Who's commanding this to happen?
I think it's also this idea. You know, I posted something this week. In Japan, they are growing gardens on roofs of parking lots. They're making them beautiful. And, you know, Japan is just in so many ways superior to so many other cultures. Japanese culture, you can argue, is one of the more superior cultures in the world because they're absolutely not all equal. No. You know, a culture that wants you to marry your cousin, and there are studies that have been, you know, over hundreds of years now, because we know what this does. What it does is it tends to make people more tribal, more insular, more inward looking, apart from the physical deformities and the mental cost of having your genes so similar to your breeding partner, and therefore your children have many copies of the same genes, which they don't require. It doesn't have good social effects. It tends to make people quite primitive and tribal in their outlook on the world. And that could go a long way to describing how certain cultures have got to come to terms with the fact that practices that maybe were okay 1,000 years ago are no longer okay. And you're being left behind. Not all cultures are equal.
Could those cultures, though, who at the same time are likely to not consume alcohol, be looking at other communities and saying, and other cultures and saying, you know, the effects of alcohol are so bad, yet you still drink?
Yeah, they could. And we know that that's also bad for you. So just because you are guilty of the one doesn't mean that you absolve yourself of that guilt by pointing to the guilt of another.
Mm.
So we know, for example, in the Western Cape in South Africa, for like 200 or 300 years, the dorp system was an actual way people got paid for working in the vineyards, for example.
And speaking of birth defects.
And we had massive amounts of fetal alcohol syndrome. Yeah. And it continued through generations, and it had a deleterious effect on many people. So we know that's wrong. But also, don't fuck your cousin.
Okay, on that note.
It's a very pertinent line, that. But yeah, I mean, every culture needs to look at themselves and go, what have we done? How are we evolving? And how are we sophisticated? Or are we sophisticated enough to survive in this year right now?
Yes.
Because if we were living in the year 927, cool. Maybe flirt with your cousin.
I mean, I know
and maybe
she's,
eat, but not now.
I know she's made
eat. You didn't finish that sentence.
She's made many appearances on the show so far, but even Brigitte Macron has something to say about this. And, you know, she.
Always like
this. I don't know if you've seen her saying anything about anything. She's furious about this. Take a listen. Here's Brigitte Macron being asked about the inbreeding in the UK and marrying your first cousin.
On a dit que vous étiez un homme sur les réseaux sociaux. D'abord, ça vous a blessé, ça?
C'est-à-dire, au début, j'ai regardé ça d'un petit peu loin, on entendait parler, mais bon.
See? Told you.
Oh, gosh. How were her gene tests, by the way? Didn't that, what's that woman's name?
Who did I see this week?
She needed to prove that she was a woman.
Someone sent me a clip, I think it might have been Bill Maher, who said, you know, these people who say that Brigitte Macron's a man, this has got to stop. He said it's out of control. This is silly. And you're embarrassing us. There are big, important things in the world. Why are you talking about Brigitte Macron being a man? He said, but really, he's got to get a better wig. All right. Did you hear the news that Greta and Nkosi Zwelivelile Mandla Mandela were both on that flotilla, that embarrassing leaky boat off the coast of Gaza, which got tossed and turned in storms, and the Israelis would fire off a flare and they'd kept thinking, oh my God, we're going to sink. And then they almost sank themselves because the guy on the ship shot a flare into his own ship.
Yep.
I mean, really, you couldn't wish for a more Keystone Cop put one foot in front of the other and fall down arrangement. But all of these people are on this flotilla, and eventually Israel said, listen. And by the way, Trump's busy negotiating a deal here. He's giving Hamas a take it or leave it. He's saying, I got a plan for Gaza. It's going to be a tremendous plan, great plan. It's going to be the greatest. Nothing comes close. A lot of people are talking about it. Anyway, he's got a plan, and the flotilla is aimlessly floating around in the Eastern Mediterranean. No one cares except Greta Thunberg, who keeps posting these, you know, messages on social media. They've been pulled into shore and taken in, and the Israelis have said, stop this childishness. It's just enough. We're going to put you on dry land. None of you can fucking sail this ship. You're going to crash into the rocks or something at some point, or sink, and then you're going to say it's our fault. Mm. So we're pulling you in, and we're putting all of you in an air-conditioned room. We're giving you some food and letting you calm down, because this is stupid. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just hoping they'll keep them all there. I don't know if you've been, if your life has been improved by our Member of Parliament, Mandla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela. I don't know if he's done anything for you in South Africa, but he's been a Member of Parliament for, I don't know, about 8 years now.
Really?
Yeah. You wouldn't know it, though.
No.
He's more interested in Palestine than he is in South Africa. It's like when Cyril went to the UN and spent 8/10 of the time that he had there talking about Palestine, and like 2.5 seconds on South Africa.
Didn't you know one of the grandchildren?
No, that was the one. That's the same one. I went to one of his weddings. Mm. And, you know, now he's like those kids you saw from Pakistan there. Yeah. Palestine is the greatest. I love Palestine. That's his thing. So, all right. I hope the Israelis are looking after him. And I'm sure they are, better than being on that stupid ship. Julius Malema may go to jail. That's what everyone's talking about this week, too. I don't know a hell of a lot about this story. It's about when he fired the gun in public at some rally. Do you remember all of this?
Yeah, but he's blamed his security guard for giving it to him, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
But he has a white – why does Julius have a white security guard if he wants to, like, help black economic empowerment? And why would he trust a white guy when all he says all the time is how whites can't be trusted? Why do you have a white security guard? And then if the white security guard lets you down by shooting the gun, I mean, again, you had a white judge, Julius. You can't win, dude. You're just surrounded by whites everywhere you go. It's a disaster for you. I don't know what's going to happen there. That's big news. Then I found, you know, we do a lot of travel on the show. We have Tourvest in here and we talk about travel.co.za and all the packages that they're doing. And
packages.
It's, oh, such nice packages. Oh. Anyway, so there's lots to talk about in the world of travel. But I found this woman who I think I'm going to check in with her every now and then. The countries that she's scared to visit. And I think, Leanne, this will appeal to you because you're a nervous traveler.
Mm-hmm.
So have a look here.
Countries I'm scared to visit. Number one is Afghanistan. You won't catch me boarding a flight to Afghanistan. I am scared as fuck. When I think about this country, I think about war, violence, and hardship. I fuck around and get there, they automatically start beating and torturing me, talking about me in different languages, all while I'm just hungry as hell. Oh, hell no. But if you're from Afghanistan and you fuck with me, I still fuck with you. Number two is Iraq. The only thing I know about Iraq is that I'm not going. I do know about Chirac, though, up in Chicago. I know they gets down, so I know Iraq don't play. I look Iraq up on Google. They said do not travel due to terrorism. And they ain't got to tell me twice. I fuck around and get there, step foot on Iraq soil, my whole damn leg blow up. Oh, hell no. But if you from Iraq and you fuck with me, I still fuck with you. Number three is Cuba. I just found out you can't even go to Cuba just to tour the country, which is fine by me because I am scared as fuck. When I think about Cuba, I think about danger and killings. I don't want no smoke with them Cubans. I am with the shits, but if I pull up in Cuba, they're gonna bring the punk out of me. Oh, hell no. But if you're from Cuba and you fuck with me, I still fuck with you.
She just is terrific. I think
I like how she admits she doesn't know a thing about Iraq.
Well, she says if you step on an IED, you blow the fuck up, and she's not wrong.
She knows enough.
Yeah,
she knows enough. She knows she shouldn't sleep with her cousin.
But she actually does.
She knows. Let me tell you, she should be. You know, I always have those movies on the international flights, and they try to make them quirky for like you know, in the event of a water landing, you've got a life vest under your...
Or they use a celebrity.
They should have her. I'm telling you, she'd be much better. Okay, motherfuckers, here what's going to happen. If this plane go down, you're going to die. But before you die, put on this here life vest, which under your seat. And if you're in first class like me, then you're going to get your life vest headed to you in a big gold box. That kind of shit. She'd be fantastic.
Yeah
that would be a big improvement.
Dumb airlines. And, they'll always keep it boring.
Like Cat's Eye has Kevin Hart, I think, is their guy currently.
Okay.
And then,
that's close.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Like,
it's not great.
I want to ask you before you go and before Leanne goes. This is very exciting.
Are we going now?
No. There's no rush.
Oh, no, Leanne's been trying to leave for the last 10 minutes.
She's been edging away.
She's trying to find the moment.
She's been skirting this way on the sofa.
On that note, so you just keep talking. And she's going, fuck, I need to go.
I want to know about this 1970 Miss World, because this was apparently the most exciting year in Miss World history.
When did it even start? 1917?
But what was significant about 7-0 is that South Africa sent two contestants.
Yes.
So Miss South Africa, a white woman, and Miss Africa South, who was not a white woman.
Oh, they just turned it around. Huh?
That was the thing. So... And it was a major controversy because South Africa, obviously, in peak of apartheid, they sent their Miss South Africa. But then there was so much pressure on them to try and show that they weren't complete dickheads. So Miss Africa South was actually a thing once in 1970.
Not Miss South Africa, but Africa South. So they just swapped the words.
Yeah.
And chose someone of the opposite color.
Right.
Yes. And Miss Africa South finished higher than Miss South Africa. She was second princess and Miss... So Miss Africa South was second princess, and Miss South Africa was fourth princess.
Wow. And it was Pearl Jansen. She was the runner-up. Mm. And there was racist backlash and conspiracy claims in the UK press. Though overshadowed by protests and scandal, the night broke barriers in Eurocentric beauty standards and fueled momentum for women's liberation and representation in global pageantry. So it was like the first DEI... Miss World.
Yeah.
You could call it.
It's like you keep finding out about this country and the things in the past and fucking
fascinating.
Weird stuff. Yeah. And beauty pageants. I love a good beauty pageant story. I really do.
I feel like we've lost something when we stop making beauty pageants about just chicks in swimsuits.
But like we all lost something. It's not just guys that lost something.
Yeah.
I mean, look, entertainment, like in the greater scheme of things, you had, I don't know, 7 out of 10 chicks most of the time doing very boring things. But we had no TV back then, so that was actually a real hit. So even if the pageants came back now, people probably wouldn't find them that interesting.
Also, the women would really tart up for those beauty pageants, huh?
It was such a big thing.
They would tart up.
Yeah, I told you the story before where
life-defining.
I was at a restaurant as a child, and I disappeared when I went to the loo. In those days, they didn't care. Wesley
at Spur now, you'd need a helicopter parent to follow you into the bathroom.
Well, and eventually, my mom came to look for me, and I'd been picked up and put on the, counter.
What, by an uncle?
No.
Good Lord, who's
South Africa at the time?
That's always
was doing
an opening move of an uncle.
Good heavens!
Yeah,
you were getting tarted up by Miss South Africa.
I don't remember which one it was. I think it may have been Dinah Tilden Davis or something.
Oh wow, nice.
But it was a big
such
thing.
A Leanne story.
I remember a friend of mine saying we got into a car, someone's car. No one cared. It was the '80s, and the question was, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" And she said, "I want to be Miss South Africa." It's like it's what we wanted to do.
But being Miss South Africa is still a big thing, though. It's as big as being a captain of a football team. Guys want to be that, and I think it should be that. I think it should be like. Women should be able to do this, and it's still a major thing. It's a major influential thing. You get involved in a lot of big projects. You have a lot of social impact. And
people know your heart, which is important.
I still want to know if they've changed that rule to be Mrs. South Africa. Remember, you were not allowed to have been divorced.
No, they've got a Mrs. South Africa.
Yeah, you know, allowed
she's
to have tattoos.
She has to have been married, but she's not allowed to divorce. And then Miss South Africa is not allowed to have been married or divorced.
No boyfriends. No.
See, I love that because it's so weird, but I love that. Let's have more rules over stupid competitions.
All right. Okay. Okay.
We should actually get Miss Essay in here.
Leanne's desperate to get out of here.
Yeah, she tried to leave for 10 minutes, 15
Sorry,
minutes.
I'm just leaving.
Get out of here. She's getting
out. Bye. Bye. Have a prosperous Friday. Off.
Just like that. Oh, my God. All right.
It's like being at a party and you're like, no, I'm leaving now. I'm just trying to say goodbye to that person and then I'm leaving.
That's what she
He's
does.
Still here, yeah.
I got to show you this. This guy does a very short but very effective Leo DiCaprio impersonation.
Uh-huh.
I guarantee you Leo DiCaprio is a big fan of beauty pageants as well, for sure.
Good reason.
No doubt. But this is terrific, so take a look at this.
My impression of Leonardo DiCaprio on his girlfriend's 25th birthday. All right, looks like we're done here.
That's so good.
Oh, my God, it's Nina Hasty.
Just like
so
that.
We get rid of Leanne, we bring Nina in. It's all happening this morning. How the hell are you?
There's only space for one middle-aged white woman on this couch.
Very nice. It's okay. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah, I just see you doing all kinds of very, very cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those like just
caught up with you on Instagram the other day.
Did you do a little stalk?
I did a little stalk, but we were talking such shit to each other about like all kinds of stuff. And I suddenly said to Nina, it's about time you came on the show again because it's been about a year and a half.
Yeah, yeah. A good...
Somewhere around there.
Exactly.
Remember Ben.
I look forward to your DMs.
By the way, Ben, the hair is fucking back.
4 months.
I know. It's looking good, man.
Yeah.
He went for one of those things where they... You know, the hair transplant things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is the last time I'm cutting it short for now and then... It's going to grow.
I've got a patch. Yeah, I'm serious.
I had
alopecia.
Yes.
I had full-blown alopecia. I lost all my hair. So I get bouts every now and again. It's an autoimmune thing and it's stress-triggered. Yeah, so some of my eyelashes fell out. So I've been walking around like, hey, Marie, man.
You're like Pinocchio.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. The one with the long nose, was it? Anyway.
It's Pinocchio.
It's not Pinocchio. It's like an elephantitis nose.
What? Like the elephant man?
The elephant man. He's like a Marie, man. Yeah.
That's the one.
You wait for elephantitis before elephant man.
Yes, obviously. Because
yeah. That was the hard
he was
part.
The one who, in the movie, he goes, I know what you're trying to do here.
What does he say?
He goes, I am not an animal.
Yes, that's what
I am a human being.
Right, I'm a real man. Yeah, I said I'm a real boy because that comes from Pinocchio.
Yes,
well
that's
done.
Why
all
I was
right,
confused.
All right.
I got there eventually.
I accepted. Thank you.
But then it's the Serbian in you that you get all the consonants and vowels mixed up.
We don't have any vowels. It's also just because I'm a woman. I'm stupid.
Hey, there's no need for you just because we brought up beauty pageants just now to bring up such stereotypes.
Wow. You're
not a fan of beauty pageants.
I was Miss Cameo. No, I was Miss Ladybird 1990.
What's that?
So Miss Ladybird, there was Miss Cameo. I entered it and get in. Miss Ladybird was a national beauty competition 1990. I'm seven, right? Do you remember OK Bazaars?
No, but hang on a second.
Okay, this is child beauty star vibes.
Yeah, I really hate those.
Yes.
Uncle Stone.
So the thing is, every OK Bazaar had their own thing, and then you had to go and do your special skill. So all these girls had like parasols, and they would do like modern dancing, and then they did a twirl. And I go there, and I'm like, "The Wind" by A.A. Milne. I did poetry.
That's so
okay,
cute.
And then. And then I won for Sunnyside, obviously, because, you know, Pretoria. And I didn't get through to the finals because they ask all the finalists. It was Doreen Morris and Scott were the And Candice Hillebrand performed.
Oh,
she was my
Jesus.
Hero.
Yeah, this was the
1990.
Ticket.
Yeah, this was the this was when TV presenting was the
this
ultimate.
This was bigger than when Casper Nyovest filled the.
100%. This was massive. Anyway, so
Doreen
Morris
could command fees of 10,000 rand.
Goosebumps.
Amazing.
I saw her the other day. You know, she looks magnificent.
She still looks the same.
No, she's unreal. Yeah. Oh, I'm obsessed with her. And as graceful and beautiful. She did a really great series, a docu-series on on a variety of things. I spoke on the alcoholism one. It was like three stories, like three different people that do different things. And there was just like the other, I was like, I don't have problems. Those people have problems. No, not really. I mean, I have problems. But the point is, they asked me the question, what are you going to do with the money, Nina?
How much was it?
It was, I think it was like 10,000 Rand to win. Yeah.
Nina, you had a privileged start.
No, I didn't win. Okay. I didn't win. That was the prize money. If you win.
They were giving 10,000 Rand to kids.
No, I got 300 Rand for being a finalist. And I will tell you what I spent that money on because it dictates the rest of my life. They said, what are you going to spend the 10,000 Rand on? And this girl said she's going to save the children. This one was going to build trees or berry trees or what do you
plant?
Thank you. Perimenopause, Oaks. Just fucking relax.
Elephant man and planting trees have eluded you.
Thank you. Anyway, so they said, Nina, what are you gonna do with the money? And I said, I'm gonna buy a Ferrari.
That's excellent.
Yeah, because that is still to this day that has integrity and it has aged well.
Well, you would still want that
100%. If I won the money, I would buy a Ferrari. Like that's it
for
end
sure.
Off.
I mean, if I won the lotto, there are certain things that I think I would have done it. Five that I'll still do now.
What?
Save the children. It's very important to me.
Build a tree. Build a tree from Pinocchio.
Okay, wait, like, but then what did you do with the 300 Rand? Did it go into a Bob T account?
Let me tell you what I did. I did two things. One, I'm very proud of. Two, so do you remember the – let me start with two. Do you remember in the Sunday Times magazine, there was always the astrology section at the back?
Yes.
Now, I'm 9 years old because I had saved this money for a bit. I waited until I was nine. So my mom took me to Theosophy instead of church when I was young. So at Theosophy, you learn about all the different types of religions. You learn about Buddhism, Taoism, the occult.
Very open-minded.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And then I also went to catechism. She's like, listen, you can choose your religion. Here's all the options you can go. And I went, I would like to go and see Dr. Sharon Eisenlinger, who writes the astrology column in the Sunday Times magazine in Joburg. Now, you know, Joburg. Joburg right. was like a thing.
But I even remember that name.
Yes, Dr. Sharon Eisenlinger. I think
she was like our Sylvia.
Yeah. She was she was on 702 as well back in the day. So my mom drives me to Joburg and we go and I go and see Dr. Sharon Eisenlinger, who told me I was going to be a judge when I was big. And right now, I'm very judgmental. I think it totally tracks.
Nailed it. How much did she cost?
She was about, it was about 200 Rand or something like that. It was quite a lot of money. But with that 100 Rand, I bought a tape deck, a double tape deck. I was so excited about this thing. And you could record off the radio.
Yes.
And I could record Barney Simon at night on his shows. I used to record Barney Simon's shows because sometimes I'd fall asleep. But also my favorite thing is I could record my own voice.
Yes.
So I could record my voice. And because my parents were never home, I wanted to get 100% for my spelling. So I would record myself asking myself the questions so that when I could check my spelling later, I'd play the tape and it would ask me all the questions. And then I would do my spelling homework myself.
Even when you had the opportunity to make nonsense, you used it for education purposes.
Yeah.
I think that's a tremendous plus. Yeah. I mean, most people these days have all of this technology and not one of them is using it to make themselves smarter.
Yeah.
They're all trying to be influencers peddling bullshit on the internet.
Don't they get bored?
Listen, someone posted a video yesterday which I laughed at. It's like how normal people eat food. And then how influencers eat food.
Oh, have dear you seen Lord, them? No, show me.
No, it's. I don't need to show you. The normal person eats like a normal person. Yes. And then the influencer's like, oh my God, I'm so nervous to try this. Like all this bullshit.
That's great.
And I thought, we're just over it. And by the way, if you're a marketing person or a brand manager or something, just get away from these people. They are not doing you any good anymore. They really are terrible. They're very, very bad.
And then the question is, oh, but they've got audience. But they've got audience of dumbasses then, clearly.
Yeah, it's like the unboxing. Nina, Ben will back me up on this.
Yeah.
You have made tremendous content. I will never forget your stuff during COVID, for example.
Right,
that was legendary.
Peak. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even with load shedding, where you did the no electricity,
yes,
and then the cuck when people say, "Oh my god, it's spring!"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're so, like, "Yeah, obviously."
Yeah, exactly.
That shit is golden. Okay.
Thank you.
But a lot of people on the internet are just unboxing shit.
No, listen.
And they're getting hundreds of millions of views.
I never understood that. Yeah.
They changed their hairstyle.
Mm.
Some 12, 15-year-old whose parents clearly let them grow up feral and has built up an audience online of other feral 15-year-olds.
Right.
I don't want to compete with that shit. There's and I don't think anyone should.
There's a woman in China who
sells factory parts from my factory.
Oh, yeah. She's also funny.
She's terrific.
She's hilarious. And okay, we love her. We love her. And we love Tony. We love yo, homie, I'm Tony from LC Lighting. I love Tony.
All right. He's, so there are some.
Yeah. Okay. But but there's another woman in China who, what she does is she takes a box. So I'm going to use your phone. So she goes, so she just like throws, she like has it land on the thing. She goes, ha, da 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 boom, da 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 da. And she's got literally, I think, like a billion followers. And she sells stuff. She makes an absolute fortune.
Yeah.
I don't know whether she's on YouTube or the Chinese equivalent of.
Well, she'll be on whatever WeChat's offerings are. And
yeah, it's phenomenal. Also, those platforms, the WeChats the Kakao Talks, and how they've structured those apps is so phenomenal. It's like banking, shopping, a search network.
It's your entire life. I mean, you're calling the cab on it. You're ordering your food on it. You're doing everything.
It's a one-stop shop.
But they can also use the social credit score to stop you from buying the wrong things.
Well, even on Kakao Talk, in like 3 years ago, because you load your card on, and if you're a foreigner, you can load your local card. But when South Africa's rand got grey listed, it was no longer accepted on the Kakao Talk app in Korea.
Ooh. So then you can't do anything.
You can't do anything because now how do you go and get a bank? How do you get a bank account because you don't have a visa because you don't live there?
Wow.
So you have to just be like.
Then you have to whore, I suppose.
Yeah, I was gonna say it, and then I thought I can't really lift these.
You just gotta whore.
Yeah. Also, you can't really whore in Korea because you're not deemed beautiful because it's the Korean beauty standard. I'm morbidly obese in Korean standards. Yes.
Morbidly
obese by Korean standards. Yeah.
Let me ask you both something. You talk about Korea, and it wasn't on my agenda to talk about Korea at all this morning, but I heard a horrifying statistic. You know, with their replacement rate in terms of birth rate, they reckon that in the next, I think by 2050, I stand to be corrected whether it's 2050 or 2060, for every 100 Koreans alive right now in South Korea, there will only be 4.
Yeah, it's a bigger wipeout than COVID. It's a bigger wipeout than a global pandemic.
And no one's, Greta Thunberg's not on this flotilla. You know, she's not out there going, "You South Koreans really need to fuck."
Yeah, yeah.
Which to me would be a much more pleasant message than, "How dare you? The environment is going to destroy us."
But it does just prove what social media has done. It's just made people unfuckable and not fuck.
Well, listen, I don't know, but your impression of Lord Farquaad was amazing.
That's Greta. She based her whole personality around Lord Farquaad. And the haircut, by the looks of things.
There's this guy, he, you know, on social media, some people have like a shtick, you know, like where they do one song. I don't know, I'm somehow on like Gen Alpha or Gen Z TikTok, but I'm in like this subculture of like these New York kids who do weird stuff. And there's this guy, he's got the Greta Thunberg and
He-Man.
Yeah, the He-Man. He's got the He-Man. He looks like He-Man. He's quite a short haircut, guy. Yeah. And his whole thing is, "I just got my hair done." And then you scroll the next video and he's like, "I just got my hair done." And he's just doing it and he's got different people in the background and he's got like a bob. He's got a He-Man outfit. I mean, a haircut. Outfit? What is wrong with my brain? Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Slowly. It's all good.
But then there's another guy who does this matcha dance. Okay.
What's matcha dance?
I don't know. So it started off as like a stomp. The etymology or the history of this dance. There was one guy. There was a young... I don't know. The race isn't relevant. Anyway, there was a guy. He was looking after this old lady in an old age home. And this old lady was getting old. So in order to
cheer her up, he would do this dance. And he would do a stomp dance, okay? Then this other guy liked that stomp dance, and then he appropriated it. I don't know, but he does this matcha stomp dance. I sound like a crazy person. What? I sound like I'm saying skibbity-doobop.
You know what amazes me, though, is that these fucking freak shows are able to find each other thanks to the internet.
Yes,
right?
And then
the
he was on his show.
The stomp dance guy number one gets to find stomp dance guy number two because they both want to help old people.
And then the He-Man guy did a cameo on Stomp Dance Guy's video the other day. And then we're like, how does Stomp Dance Guy know He-Man
it's
hair?
It's bringing people together.
Wow. Mm.
This is the internet. But what are we going to do about these South Koreans?
Okay, so I know what they're doing. So there's a – obviously, I know what they're doing. So first of all, Jeju Island. Okay, so Jeju Island is like a holiday destination in there that they've encouraged. It's literally an island that the government has built to lure and encourage people to go and fuck at. Please go and fuck at Jeju Island and make babies. 100%. Then there's all the K startups. So they've got all these like global K challenges. So there's like international grants. So I qualify easier for a Korean economic grant than I do for a local one.
It's a course.
Yes. Anyway.
Are you thinking of taking it up?
So I went to Korea. I went to Korea and I was part of a cacao talk of foreign entrepreneurs in Korea. But I fucked it up so royally. Okay. No, Oaks, you don't understand.
You open up with your Miss Lady B pageant story.
They were like, we can't relate.
No, since 1990, I've been a real go-getter.
Oh, fuck.
Here's some poetry.
I went for a coffee with the guy that founded this cacao talk group, who's got like, there's like 700 really phenomenal foreign entrepreneurs, and they all do different things, a lot of tech startups. And the guy takes me for a cup of coffee, but there's like this, he's quite, like Koreans won't tell you that they're like inconvenienced, but they'll be like, okay.
Oh, shit.
You know, so they're being polite, but you have to pick up that you are being impolite. So the onus is on you societally to like pick up that you're being impolite and then like really feel sorry. Have you seen the Apology Olympics in Japan?
No.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
What is it?
So it's guys that bow. So there's like, it's like a competition of who can look more apologetic with the bow. So these guys like start.
I'm telling you that culture is just too advanced.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So you get like what, like a.
Do the bows, yeah.
So it's like one angle, okay, so sort of 10 degrees. How many is this? 45 degrees.
And if you grovel.
They have oaks that like start running from across the room, jump, land down, and do like a squat bow. Oh my gosh, no, it's hilarious. It's
Apology Olympics. Yeah. I think that's amazing. You see, this is why you told me, I mean, Nina is full of like all kinds of surprises. I had no idea about this career thing.
Mm.
It comes up by chance and you tell us, oh yeah, I've been there and I've inconvenienced a whole bunch of South Koreans.
Yeah, that's true.
But you told me the other day on Heritage Day,
yes,
we were both joking about how everybody just uses it as another dress-up party.
Right.
And you said you found out a whole lot of stuff about your one grandfather.
Yes.
Which is fascinating because I posted this thing kind of just – I wasn't – I'm not massively into like the meaning behind public holidays anymore. They've been around for a long time now. We got 12 of them. Who can bother to fucking make everything poignant the whole time?
Everyone's just trying to have a nap.
Absolutely. Like, and not have to go to work that day.
That's the main impetus. They're like, it's a public holiday, rest.
But I like that you had a story about this grandfather of yours. Turns out he was quite a hero.
You know, okay, so I've got my Grandpa Hasty. It was so weird. I don't know how that came up, but it was incidentally, I was on Heritage Day looking up my grandfather. I was like, wow, that's so pretty cool.
Somewhere in heaven, Madiba's like, we made that holiday for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Never again.
Do you impersonate people of color?
Yeah, especially like because he was so overdone. But yes, let's carry on.
Yeah.
Tell me about Grandpa Hasty.
He was a Spitfire pilot. Okay, so this is my step-grandfather, but I grew up with Grandpa Hasty, who lived till he was 90, always had a beer after work, but he was so regimented.
That's why he lived till he was 90.
100%. Yeah. And when I say a beer, I mean a beer, you know, like
one of those tankards.
Yeah, exactly.
2 stories.
100%. And every morning, like, he was a proper pilot. Like, he had a slice of toast, but it had to be like whole grain, whatever, 2 poached eggs, and half a grapefruit every morning. And he had logbooks for everything. Now, what I'm thinking about, like, if you think about all these men that were, like, and he was a Spitfire pilot. He flew in the Second World War. There was a snake, you know, like snakes on a plane. There was an actual snake in the cockpit, and he survived this. He was, like, shot at. He survived. Like, real.
Like Indiana Jones.
Like, proper hero stuff, right? I have my biological grandfather, my father's father, was a brigadier in the South African Air Force, but also flew as part of the flying cheetah. So there were 200 South African pilots that contributed to the Korean War in the 1950s. By the way, that war is still going on. I don't think anybody realizes that this whole time has been a ceasefire.
Yeah.
This war still exists.
Have you seen the No Man's Land?
Yes.
While you were there?
While they were playing K-pop from South Korea to North Korea as, like, subversive military tactics.
That's amazing.
Like, with these massive speakers.
There's a kilometer between North and South Korea.
The DMZ.
On the, 33rd parallel or whatever it is. And no one has been there. And I think there are just animals.
Great place for nature, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a demilitarized zone, yeah.
But you could just see the North Koreans, and they could just see you. And, you know, North Korea is best Korea, right? It is. North Korea is best Korea. Even though they would love to get into the demilitarized zone, because the only place in North Korea that still has, like, any animals, because there's no protein there. You have to eat your own children.
It's a very, very hard place. I found, like,
South Korea is amazing.
South Korea is phenomenal. But I found a couple of YouTube videos about, like, they're letting tourists in. They're, like, letting tourists
in. In North Korea?
In North Korea. There's a couple of videos you can go and see.
But you know what you have to do?
You can go skiing there.
You can, but when you go to North Korea, you must first, they take you on a compulsory homage that you must pay to Kim Il-sung.
Yes.
Kim Il-sung, who's been dead since the 70s, is still the head of state. So technically, it's a necrocracy. It's the only country in the world that's run by a dead person.
Yes, Game of Thrones.
And then his son was Kim Jong-il.
Yes.
And he's now dead, but he's no longer head of government. So he's also buried there. You've also got a bow to him when you arrive.
Yes, they've got massive statues.
Yeah, now it's Kim Jong-un who's the head of government. Yes. But the head of state, you still have to go and, like,
They take you, and there's a specific way that you even have to take the photo or take the video of where the statues of the leaders have to be in your photograph. Yeah, well,
They give you a chaperone. Who takes you every? They've got one shop where they've got stuff on the shelves so that it all looks great. You know, it's like that you could get away with this in the 1950s.
It's very Truman Show-y.
It is. It's Truman Show-y. And then, you know, if you pay no attention to those children biting each other's hands off in the back there for sustenance. But here's our shop. Have a look.
It's wild.
Don't go down that aisle. That aisle, they're still busy preparing.
You know, no, it's wild.
I would love to actually see it. I mean, there's a part of me that would be fascinated. But you mentioned you could ski there?
Yeah, there's a ski resort in the north.
They're building a Durban there as well.
Of course they are.
Durban's not far from North Korea in terms of how shitty it is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're like, these are our tourist plans. And it's like Kim Jong-un showing there. And it's literally like North Korean rickshaws. Yeah, it's
But you know what they're not going to have is the turds in the water that Durban has. Durban will still win.
Do you guys want some E. coli?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been? You do gigs all over still. Do you still go to Durban?
So I go to Durban every now and again. And it's actually quite weird because I thought if I go to if I go further up to Mhlanga and Mhloti, that I'd be able to surf there.
Yeah.
But the E. coli has moved, so it's actually quite weird. You can actually surf downtown on the south coast thing. They've got a really amazing – there's a really nice restaurant called Surf Riders, and okay. they have this insane menu where you can pretty much get anything, and they've got this like world-class chef. It's so obscure because there's just like dilapidation, corruption that has eaten and eroded the entire city. And right. then there's Surf Riders, which is amazing, and the E. coli has moved, so you can like literally surf over there. It's like this one
so what's
patch
the,
of greatness.
What's the dangerous place then?
Mhlanga and Mhloti.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Ekola also wants to be in a nice place. It's yeah. also got aspirations.
Oh. Wants the Bronze Beach.
But you were telling us about this grandfather.
Okay, so yeah, let's go back there. So 1950s. Fought in South Korea. There are 200 South African fighter pilots that go in these Spitfires called the Flying Cheetahs. My grandfather's name is in the Seoul National Museum on the, like, as in commemoration of all the global fighters that contributed. I think there were people from Turkey as well. There were a couple of countries that contributed. Then we have the Korean Cultural Center in Pretoria. You should actually go. It's yeah. really cool. I've been to a couple of their events. I actually hosted an event for 8,000 people at the Sunbed Arena about a month ago, about 3 weeks ago.
Are you
actually
bilingual now?
I can speak a little bit. So I did a little bit in Korean. I can read and write their language system, but it's a very English, very simple.
Korean essay influencer.
Shit, yeah. Look at you.
It's a very simple language system. In the 1400s, the King Seokjin invented this language system because they had the Chinese language system before. And so what that did was only the aristocracy could read and write. So he's like, okay, morons, let me help you. And then the aristocracy didn't want everybody else. So he vetoed them. He's like, I'm the king. Fuck you, Oaks. Right. I'm going to let my entire nation be educated or at least be able to be literate. So it's such a – you can learn it in a day.
You know, I just think it's such a mistake to let peasants read. I've always had a –
they must only watch videos.
That is when society just took a turn for the worse. So the moment we let the peasants learn to read. We should have kept everything in the churches, should have been Latin, so they'd never understand. The magic hocus pocus.
The hocus pocus
Jesus
witchery.
In nomine patris filius. They didn't need to know.
Nobody
they would just go like
the Spanish Inquisition.
They would just go and then if there were demons and monsters, and they'd fucking behave themselves and go and till the fields.
I think they still think there are demons and monsters.
The peasants?
The peasants just don't. The peasants think there are demons and monsters. They also don't know how to identify the truth. Nothing has changed.
We were talking about this morning that guy who said the rapture was going to happen on 25 September.
We missed it. We were late.
And we missed it.
We missed the rapture.
But there are a lot of people. Remember there was the doom guy here in South Africa, the guy who said you got to eat the grass?
People yes. Listen, there's still someone that says there's a Korean Jesus coming.
Oh, what is it with you in Korea?
I'm sorry.
Today?
I'm
We've
Dana,
started something.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll wait
I'm,
for that soundtrack when he arrives, though. That's going to be banging.
Yeah, it's going to be banging.
K-pop.
I'm big into K-pop as well.
Now, isn't part of them trying to get people to have sex is they're trying to get the K-pop stars to marry?
Well,
the government wants them to have normal relationships. Because they're all like boy bands.
Yeah.
Well, it's boy band, girl bands. Yeah, there's a
but
lot
they don't
of like
mix.
There's a lot of like segregation.
Yeah,
in
so they need
spaces.
Them to actually get together and make a family band.
There
That's
are
what
incentives.
They want.
There's incentives for people to leave their houses. There's a lot of isolation. So there's a grant.
Please
people,
leave your house. We'll give you 50 rand.
Literally, there are like incentives for people to leave their houses.
Wow.
There's global incentives for people to come and invest there, and for them to like mix with foreigners because they don't like foreigners. They
no.
they're an homogenous society mm-hmm. on a peninsula.
Yeah.
So like. They've hated everyone for a long time, and they were oppressed by the Japanese and
yes.
the Chinese. They're like, fuck all of you Oaks. You know what? We're just going to get hot. And they're tall. So the average height of South Koreans is higher than in South Africa. So our median height of men in South Africa is at 176. Bunch of midgets.
176 is quite tall, isn't it?
No.
Did you know any of this about how they incentivize
no, all I know
you?
About
no, 176 is Korea. 173 is South Africa.
Yeah,
sorry. 173.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I'm one.
You're probably 186.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah,
but it's still
like,
that's tall, right?
It is tall.
Yeah.
I would say it's tall.
It is tall, and it's getting taller. So it's in the last 100 years they've grown. Listen to this: in 1960, the average like the earnings per capita or per person was something like $300 per mm-hmm. capita per annum. It is now I don't want to be misquoted, but it's possibly something along the lines of $30,000 per capita.
Oh. Well, I do know that they are in the top three countries in terms of IQ as well. So they're super smart. Yeah. They read. They've been reading.
See what happens when you read.
Well, because the peasant, they allowed them to read. So,
yeah, but super smart, innovative, technologically advanced, not having kids, though.
Yes, because having kids is dumb.
Yeah, but this is...
having kids is dumb. No, they're going to have an aging society. There's going to be a lot of pressure on an older society. You know what they do have? And what was weird to see is they've got all of this... all the cables and stuff are still fucked and old, right? So there's this the infrastructure's growing, but then they're like, oh, fuck, we haven't fixed the electricity lines. They're still hanging around everywhere. And they've got old people pushing trolleys with cardboard. You know, like we've got our oaks so there's a lot of old people because they don't have pension or whatever, or they've exceeded, they just live so fucking long. A lot of old people collect cardboard.
It's a tough thing to get back on the streets for, hey?
Yeah.
They live so fucking long. So they make them collect cardboard. Yeah.
It's really cool.
So congratulations, you lived a long time, you're healthy. Here, go and get some cardboard.
Yeah.
What a reward.
Yeah, so that's it. That's it. An aging society is there's just there's gonna be a lot of economic pressure on an aging society because they're very healthy, very health conscious. Food is a big thing.
It's almost gonna be like the opposite of what we have here. You know, you have these gogos in the townships who look after like 25 kids. Mm. Who are not theirs because they're the only one who can. There, you're going to have like one 20-something looking after 500 old fucks.
Making stomp dance videos with all of them.
much a stomp dance. That's funny. And then I just got my hair done.
I mean, it does. Maybe there's something to be said for like a swap, switcheroo between us and them.
100%.
We send them young people. They send us some old ones.
Well, the prediction is that South Africa's – what do you think Africa's biggest resource is?
People.
Youth.
Yeah. But we've got people.
Yeah, we've got people.
And the market, obviously, because we've got this huge unsaturated market of people who want consumer goods, right?
Yes.
So if you're selling anything, this is the place to sell it.
Sell ideas. People buy them.
No. Look, just be careful because there are a lot of people who are selling you trading opportunities
forex.
Online. Yeah. I'll do your forex, but
it's not a pyramid scheme, my brother.
I just hired this car for half an hour so I could do this video shoot quickly and then I'll tell you all about the forex.
My dad fell for one of those the Bitcoin pyramid scheme where the guy fucked off with everyone's money.
Oh yeah, oh, that's huge. Yeah. How much did he lose?
I
found that was it two brothers or they found these people?
They arrested them, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
I think so.
I missed that. Where's my money? Where's my money? Oops.
Where's my money?
Where's my money?
Is this not the most terrible thing that people can do? When people
like
do this, so one of my friends, he hates this so much because he says it's just the sound of it. It's like such a gross sound.
Yeah.
And when people, if you say, for example, okay, the bills arrived at dinner. Shall we just split this between us? And then someone goes, you don't want that person with you.
Who are these people?
There are people like this.
I don't know.
To somebody, you know, don't you want to join us? We're going to go away for the weekend. Can't go. It's this is a terrible sign.
I feel like people's, you know, I had this argument with someone. I went on a, they're still following me. I can't tell you guys this.
Oh, come on. Now you started it.
Yeah,
don't make me make you stress so you lose your hair.
Lol. So I kind of got a little bit catfished, but not really. Oh. But what happens, I'm also, so I put worse photos of myself on dating apps. This is my strategy. Okay. So that when you meet me, you're like, oh, fuck, you're really pretty.
That's an interesting strategy.
Yeah, because I'm like, if you're already
so your dating pictures look horrible.
Well, they don't look horrible, but they're like meh. You know what I mean? They're like bang average. And then when you meet me, you're like,
from a while ago or whatever?
No, just like, ugh, not the best photo, not the best angle, like just mid, you know, 6'7".
How do you even take those? Because everybody photoshops and filters these days. They all lie.
I don't do any of that on my Hinge photos.
Do you just like drop your phone and hope it gets clicked? I mean, how do you, How do you take?
Just, you know, when you're taking selfies or when you're taking photos, there's a couple of cuck ones. So yeah. I just put the cuck ones up.
You are very, very different to everyone else in that respect. When they meet you, they're always like, Jesus, wow. She's better than I thought.
Yes. Isn't that a nicer experience?
It's a nicer experience for them, sure.
Yeah, but also for me, because then they're not disappointed. Now they go, oh, fuck, I have to work hard. She's so much prettier than I thought. Okay. Yeah. But then actually I keep like, anyway.
So are you on a lot of these apps?
Because I'm just on the one. But I got banned. I got banned on Hinge.
How did you get banned?
Honesty.
No. So, first of all, I use my second name. Okay, I use my second name.
But you can't call yourself this.
Yeah.
People either will think they're being catfished.
100%.
Or it's kind of lame. They think it's not possible. It could be Nina.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's famous. She's a superstar. She's on TV.
And, I'm also just a person who wants to meet like an accountant. You know what I mean?
No, you don't. Are you in your accountant phase now?
Oh, no. I'm through the account phase. I'll tell you where I'm at. Okay, I'll tell you exactly where I'm at. I'm at men half my age.
Oh.
I'm going through my cougar era.
Mm. 20-something?
Yeah, so I'm 42.
Okay, no, that's cool. Yeah. So
20-something.
So 20.
No, okay, not half my age.
That's what we're
talking about. Here's the ratio. The Ben 10 ratio is half your age plus 7.
Yes, that's acceptable.
That's James' age.
Yeah, but I mean, really.
I mean, James is a bit too tall for me. Oh, and also, by the way, my
that was very diplomatic.
My proclivities have changed. My proclivities have changed.
You used to be into only black guys.
You know what I realized that was?
Yeah, Flex, you would have been in trouble if you met Nina 10 years ago.
You know, I was on the receiving end of fetishization.
Yeah.
For all these years. And I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And I didn't know. So it all started in Pretoria.
Once upon a time.
You date one black guy. So that whole concept of once you go black, you don't go back. No. What actually happened or happens is that I got a lot of bullying from white men. From, you know, off the back of me having been with a black man as my partner. And then as a result, you sort of double down. You're like, oh, well, is it? Fuck your oaks then.
Yeah. I mean, if you get negative feedback from the same group of people over and over again, it kind of reinforces
whatever idea that you sort of latch yourself onto. So here's your first thing. So I'm like, okay, cool. Well, these people don't like me and they're going to bully me because I've been in this. I do a whole bit about it. So I'm like, you know, I don't know if this is a Jabu problem or a Jonathan problem, you know, but actually I'm from Pretoria. We got Kagiso problems and Ulrich problems, you know. We're like the SABC2 of cities. And, you know, and then, but the problem is when you're dating like an Ulrich and you tell him that your ex-boyfriend's name is Kagiso and he does that like mid-step, like, oh.
I have a controversial take on this particular strain because you know, there are a lot of girls who they're lesbian, but actually, and I know this is going to upset a lot of people, and I've probably got no right to bring it up, but
do it.
I think there are a lot of lesbians who actually just don't want to be, they've had a bad experience with a guy.
Yeah.
And they feel like I'll be safer with a girl, and that's the real reason.
So
I'm not saying they hate men or anything. I'm saying that maybe some unpleasant experience occurred, and they're like, I'm not going to do that again.
Well, we said a long time ago, uncles are the biggest reason for lesbianism.
In South Africa, yeah. Uncles turn out to be the reason for so many people's choices without them knowing.
100%.
Unconscious choices. Some horrible uncle,
yeah,
you know, puts you on his hand when you're 12 and then...
Christmas time, worst time.
Yeah, and then after that, your whole life gets fucked up.
It's very true. I watched a whole interview on a woman who's now an anti... so that you can't have your trans operation at a young age.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
The ones who are anti the hormone blockers and the transgender surgery.
That you can do it when you're older, but they're saying don't do it when you're younger.
Right.
Because she was saying that her sexual orientation was a result of sexual assault. So it was a decision made off trauma. You know, you can often see that decisions are made from trauma. Like, you know, why do I prefer younger men? You know, or whatever. Everyone's got
those guys with the foot fetishes and things.
My feet. feet. Okay, listen, Oaks.
How much money are you making off your
feet? There's a website called WikiFeet, and somebody has loaded like 47 pictures of Nina Hasty's feet on there.
No.
I swear to God, I've got like a 4.5 rating or an 85% rating
but
on my
feet.
But
you could be making so much money out of that.
I did
some
research.
Some pervert out there. Mm. See, again, that, we'll get back to your feet in a second, but that some guys are into like the food fetish thing. Some girls are into the lingerie or the leathers or whatever. A lot of that stuff comes from a traumatic thing
100%.
Or a shameful experience when you're a kid.
100%.
I mean, we don't have Dr. Hanan here. He's on earlier this morning, but I'm sure he could.
Was he here physically?
No, he was on the show. He's on the show every week. But he would probably be able to explain this better than I could. Maybe you could because you've actually been in the trenches on some of this stuff. But if someone is told at a very sort of fragile, vulnerable age,
grooming is.
Oh, that's disgusting. Mm, mm. Then their brain almost does this thing where it's like, okay, I won't do that again, but just wait till I'm on my own. Then I'll think about that the whole time, right? Is that what happens?
I think it's
like a shame response.
It's a shame. It's a trauma response. Your body's trying to protect yourself from yourself. There's different ways of looking at it. I want to just talk about my experience. And my experience is
Your feet being exploited?
Yes,
or?
My feet were exploited, and I haven't made any money off it.
This is where we put those titles under Nina on the screen.
With
and
my
it says,
tag, Only Feet.
Feet. Nina Hasty, feet exploited.
Yes, exactly.
You know those 80s
subtitles. I once had a headline that said, Nina forced to sell car. This was during COVID. No, before COVID. And then when you read the article, because her previous car was broken into and they broke the lock, and then she decided to buy a new car,
I was forced to sell my own car. Talking about misleading, huh?
Mm, completely.
All right, but we've finished with the feet now. What you wanted to tell us was about the fetishization.
The fetishization. So I...
See, I'm keeping track.
Listen, I've got ADHD. This is your job today.
Aren't I doing a great job? I'm keeping track of this lunacy.
You're holding the reins on a wild...
Pony.
Yeah, 100%. So I walk into a restaurant. It's quite late. And my then lawyer has this like fat slob next to him. And he says, oh, meet Nina. She's into black guys. And he just introduces me to this... slob with like this very clear signs of cholesterol and lack of good DNA and looks like he's about to pig and goes, yeah, Nina's into black guys, you know,
some pork crackling.
Absolutely. And I'm just like, he probably has like 7 children and 5 wives. That has happened to me before as well. But anyway, that's another
story. Were they trying
to
make you the 8th wife?
No, 5th. But
but it is funny that people will, if you say that I like blondes, then they'll assume that every blonde is going to be super attractive to you.
No.
You're like, nah.
No. That just happens. Also, I'm in Africa. Guys, you know how tired I'd be. Are you joking?
You'd be Bonnie Blue.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, isn't she fascinating? So I listened to, and I don't know if either of you have heard this, the Bonnie Blue interview she did with Chris Williamson.
No, not familiar at all.
Okay, well, I wanted to, I've kind of decided beforehand I wanted to hate Bonnie Blue because she's this almighty whore who's just like been just seen
pummeled.
To by like 1,000 men in 24 hours or whatever it was she did, right?
That's an athlete.
I wanted to hate her and I was like, it would be funnier if I hated her too, not because I actually have this deep desire to dislike her.
Yeah, I don't think you'd ever want to hate her. I just
wanted to judge her. Okay, let's put it that way. I wanted to judge her.
I enjoy judging.
And I wanted to have moral confidence about the fact that she was a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, it's like one of those games you play with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, it turns out after listening to this interview, and it's good, it's Chris who does that Modern Wisdom podcast.
Right, right, right.
And then a psychologist who specializes in...
Chris is quite hot.
Sex stuff. Yeah, yeah. So the two of them interview Bonnie together. Listen, by the end of this thing, and you don't have to like Bonnie Blue, I'd suggest you listen to this interview anyway as just an experiment in human psychology. by the end of it, it's not as if I was suddenly converted into like a bunny blue stan, for example. Mm. But I would say that she is a very unique kind of person, not because she opens her legs and lets 1,000 guys have at her. The reason she can do that is she is probably the only person in every 5 million people you'll ever meet who genuinely doesn't give a damn what anyone else thinks. Now, you can say whatever you like about her behavior. You can say, oh, well, you know, it's trashy or it's bad. But the one thing you absolutely cannot say about her is that she is a victim. She has not chosen that label, and she actively rejects it from everyone who's trying to put it on her the whole time. Oh, you're being exploited. Oh, people are taking advantage of you. She will not have any of that. She's like, I wake up. I'm happy to be me. I do what I want. I enjoy my work. I have all the time in the world. She's very open about this stuff.
She makes some good points. Like, I didn't watch the whole interview. But
oh, so you have seen it, though?
No, I sent it to you.
No, Ben, you didn't. I was listening to it before you sent it.
Okay.
Oh, this is interesting, guys. Yeah, you want to get
it?
It
just
a room?
Came out and I sent it to you. but, I mean, she makes a good point at the start there, is that she's like, people get into this kind of stuff because of trauma, and she's like, oh, I've got a nice family, I'm decent. But then the bigger point was is that you get women who basically marry people, because a lot of women don't marry for love. I mean, that's not really.
A lot of men don't marry for love. In the old days, you married for property and money.
Sure, but like
is there anyone that has property and money? I would like to marry you. I no longer care about love.
It's a modern thing that women will just instinctively it's not important anymore.
Yeah.
And her whole thing is that you get these women who marry these old rich guys, and then they've got to put out in order to get the handbag, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And then they're stuck with them for
those Dubai women who get shat on and worse.
Exactly. They get shat on, they get fucked by dogs, all these things.
Oh, my God.
But like, so they go through all of this.
You didn't expect this on the show?
No, listen.
You used to do a show that was much more hardcore than this.
You know what's so
funny?
Nina
just went...
No, you know what? I'm not into that. I have my categories, okay? I'm quite into that stuff.
What?
Not that stuff. Not the dogs and the shitting and the whatever. I mean, I'm into.
Korea vibe.
I watch. No. I watch. I watch things too. Yeah, sure. I've been single a very, very, sure. very long time.
Bestiality
is like.
I agree with you. But when, just clear this up because we don't want anyone taking this out.
Guys,
what are you?
I am
what
not.
What are you not into?
I am not into. I am not into dogs and. Dogs, people fucking dogs and bestiality and people shitting on people. Like, I really find that quite repulsive and disgusting. I don't feel like anybody should be exposed to that at all, ever.
But it is, there are women who are subjecting themselves to this sort of shit, literally, in places like Dubai, for money. So, make your point.
So this is her whole argument, is that people are jumping through all these different hoops and they live with this stuff. Whereas with her, yeah, sure, she's getting railed by like 50 oaks. But she's like, I make money now. I have freedom. I have all these things. And then I'm independent. So I'm independent of all the other things that these women are now tagged to. So she makes this very pertinent point, and there was no comeback from the psychiatrist or whatever. And she's like, I can work for maybe 5 more years. Maybe I like it. Maybe I work for 10 more years. But then I got money. Then I'm me. Whereas that woman over there is on a yacht with Stavros and whoever and basically hoping that he dies, because then that lump of horrible is away from her and then she gets the money. And her whole point is what she didn't say, what I'm putting as a conclusion, is that everyone gets fucked in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's the collateral damage of your getting fuckedness? And her whole thing is that she's made peace with the fact that she does this. But it has given her this little silo that she can make sense of.
Well,
and I just thought it was like, well
bit
done.
Of a, yeah, bit of a yeah. breakthrough. Yeah,
no,
you know?
I totally see it from that perspective. I totally understand the empowerment of. I'm like these girls with. So I literally did the sums recently. So the OnlyFans people, and I was like, okay, these are your biggest OnlyFans things, and it's like. I'm 21-year-old girl from America with a great ass and like, you know, just like, but she looks like she could be from Boxburg. You know, that like the
It's
the,
not
the look,
these are not,
you know,
like supermodel looking girls. They're the just, girl next door
the
looks,
girl
right?
next door. Yeah, like yeah, Oaks yeah. like girl next door. Anyway, and then I was like, what are the highest earners of OnlyFans in South Africa? And I earn more doing jokes. I earn more doing jokes. If
yeah, I don't think anyone in this country is making
if there
money.
Was like if the numbers showed that people from OnlyFans in this country were making it, 100% I would have said, keep your fucking jokes. I have a beautiful sleeper body. Like underneath this shirt of Paco Amoroso and Catriel on the back, I have a beautiful sleeper body. It's amazing. It's sacrilegious that I'm not seen naked more often.
Well, you couldn't even make the feet work, so just yeah. calm down there, sweetheart.
I know,
all right?
I know, fine.
Just slow
fine,
down.
Fuck. I'm a terrible. Well,
But you haven't. You listen. You've been up to a lot of very cool shit. Comics Choice Awards you hosted.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like having all the people who you work among and are competing with?
You know what was so annoying about the Comics Choice Awards is that I had a script that I had to stick to. Yeah. So they kept raving me and roasting me and we're shooting to tape and I couldn't come back from it. So they all thought I was useless and I was just like, no, I'm just much more professional than you little shits. You know, so there was a lot of, you know, if you're going to get sucked into the politics, then it's hard not to. It's hard not to take that shit to heart, especially what's hard not to take to heart is when you're being judged for something that you're not. I don't mind being judged for something that I am. But if you're judging me for someone that's unable to tell a joke or to take a situation and work from an improv perspective and you think I can't do that and that's why you're judging me, that's hurtful. But I was not able to because I was –
you just said 5 minutes ago you like to judge. So
yes,
it's just a game.
It's about judging the correct thing. I'm discriminate.
You know – someone did something
this
the other
the
day.
It's the worst couch in the fucking world.
Do you hate it?
Like, okay,
I don't mean to bring it up.
Put your foot
it's
on
so
the
hard
thing.
Sitting on this fucking
I thing. Love this couch because my feet can reach the fucking yeah, ground. I love
like,
it.
Like, you got the right dimensions for it. I feel like I'm just...
Don't forget to read the description in the comments below to find out who the furniture manufacturer is, should you want to buy one for yourself. We're going to send this to Ben's house after the show today. He's going to love it. You told me you want to plug a bunch of shit because you're doing some new
yes,
stuff.
Yes, I am.
By the way, you're Otherwise You Well.
Yes.
That podcast is fucking great.
Really?
I've watched two or three episodes
thank you.
Of that. I dip into all these things.
Okay.
And it's interesting.
Thank
I mean, you've
you.
Had amazing conversations. I think you can go to places there that you cannot do when you're in comedy mode.
100%.
And when you're a guest in someone else's show, which is terrific.
Yeah, so I've got Otherwise You Well. Which is quite exciting. Otherwise You Well is my mental health podcast. It's at Otherwise You Well on YouTube. Then I've got Playdate, which is my Lego building
game playing.
Do
you invite
playing.
A bunch of uncles around yeah. to your house?
yes or no, thanks. They can stay at home. And we're like, I invite mates over or whatever to the studio. And we started off in my house with the cell phone.
You build Lego?
We build Lego and talk shit, and then we interrupt and play charades, and then we interrupt and play a word game.
So it's almost like being in your real life.
Yeah, a play date with me.
That's great.
It's just come and play. Because yeah. I feel like when people are playing, they're a little bit more natural, they're themselves. When you're building Lego, you say some shit that you might not, because you're busy concentrating. So you're not like monitoring
and
too
your logical
hard.
Brain's
drop
not
the
putting
filters,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like here on this couch, I'm very guarded because this
because you're so uncomfortable.
Sorry.
I'll get you a different chair for next week, all right?
For a tall people chair. Yeah. So otherwise, you
says
want
someone
great.
Who's been in economy class like for the last 6 weeks in a row.
Shit. Yeah, but that's fine. There's something about
you
this
complain
couch.
About this. You're going to be longing for this sofa when you're back on economy class to Singapore, you son of a bitch.
No, genuinely, I think I'll be more comfortable.
You think you'd be better off there?
Yeah, okay. I don't do well in economy because my legs aren't long enough to touch the ground. So it actually pulls down on my spine. It's horrible.
Do you get up with terrible backache? I find my ass gets numb.
Really?
Even on a Cape Town flight, I'm like, you're like,
right.
My ass is going to fall
off. Yeah, because all your weight's actually landing on there. Mine is going onto my back. So I pack like a little blow-up thing that I make as a stool for myself when I go on two flights. So because
smart,
of the footrest. Because I can't reach. Yeah, exactly. I do.
Do you have
my little footrest.
Smart.
Yeah.
Even on a short flight?
No. But I've been traveling a lot internationally lately. I went to Slovenia.
Oh,
I went to Slovenia.
Almost the homeland.
Almost the homeland, right next door. And I was so busy. I unfortunately couldn't go like do a little mecca, you know.
Well,
go
you would
back
have
home.
Had to meet the uncle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In Dubrovnik. They decided to stay Croats. Weird.
Oh, so you got Croatians and Serbians.
Well, actually there were Serbians, but so because former Yugoslavia, there were Serbs in Dubrovnik, but then
listen,
they didn't move.
There
you know?
Is no difference between exactly. in ethnicity and genetic similarity between Croats and Serbs. It's just some are Russian Orthodox
right.
Serbs.
Yes.
Others are Catholics,
yes.
Croats.
Exactly. Yeah. Fuck, I still haven't done that joke. Okay, we're not going to ruin it now. Hey?
No, no, save it.
Okay, I'll save it. it's so good. Thank you for that. I had to wait for this face treatment that I had to calm down.
What face treatments have you had?
Have
you're looking very young.
Thank you. You know, Ben, how old am I?
42, you said Fuck it about you. 20 minutes ago.
You thought she was going to catch you out on that one.
Yeah, so I've
show
I've
him a bit of alopecia. This
yeah,
is
yeah,
age
yeah,
will go
exactly,
up.
Exactly.
Also, you were a beauty pad child beta star in 1990.
Yes, you were one of those
right,
children.
Try. Oh. Yeah, fine. Sorry. I just totally underestimated.
What else are you plugging? Because we got to wrap this up.
Blacks Only, ironically enough.
Still plugging Blacks Only.
I'm still plugging Blacks Only on the 11th of October. Please come and watch. I'm on stage with a lot of black men.
and Bonnie Blue's back.
So that's going to be a great show. 11th of October. Come
that's
through.
Going that's in gonna the gonna promo.
Please don't. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Please don't. It's
Flex,
taken out
Flex,
of context.
You know what, Flex, you know what to do, right?
Yeah. Please. Excuses. Okay. Otherwise, you will. Nina Hasty's YouTube. Please go on to Nina Hasty's YouTube. I've only got like 450 subscribers. I haven't done much promo. Please just go and follow.
Why? Is it new or have you been terrible?
New. No, oh. It's new. It's new. And I haven't done any promo because my strategy was let me just fill the page with enough stuff that when they at least get there,
they've got
there's
stuff.
Got something yeah. to do. Yeah. So there's now 12 episodes and now we can do our little thing. But otherwise, Yuval is great. And it got me on board with this project called the Wellbeing Project, which is this global organization that does wellbeing for changemakers. Because everyone, all these changemakers out here are changing the world, but no one's fucking taking care of them because they're burning out. They're burning out. So there was this global wellbeing conference, 1,000 people, delegates from 89 countries.
Yeah.
And I made them all laugh in the plenary session in the morning. I got a standing fucking ovation.
How many of them burnt out by the end?
They were finished. They were just like, we need some kombucha immediately. We are exhausted.
Okay.
So yeah,
that's
and
fantastic.
Now I'm going to be joining them on the all the regional summits globally. I'm going to Nairobi Shit. At the end of this month. I'm going to Bangalore next month. I'm going to Dallas in December.
Brilliant.
Possibly the Philippines,
wow,
Tokyo.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off
so,
the back of my little well-being, a comics approach to well-being. That's my whole thing. I'm a comic, and that's my approach
no
to
more
well-being.
Durban gigs for you. You're too
Fuck
busy.
That shithole.
All right, we're gonna have to wrap it up on that note. I do want you to stick around because we only end the show at 9, and this may actually take us a little bit over 9 o'clock. But remember the other day we were talking about, and this just came up with Nina now, skin. And aging and longevity and exercise and diet and all the stuff that Hanan mentioned earlier this morning as well. So I found this guy. He was actually in South Africa a while ago. His name is Dr. Abs. He is one of the most well-respected, admired, famous people in Britain when it comes to this stuff. He is going to tell you about what you need to eat, what you need to do, what you need to avoid. And he talks also about how, you know, that there are new developments in figuring out how cancer works and how you can slow the spread of things like cancer. I mean, this guy is on the cutting edge of medicine in every which way. And none of it is woo-woo. None of it is bullshit.
I'm here for a bit of a combo.
Oh, no, this guy, he's superb.
Really?
I mean, yeah. You know when someone just makes a whole lot of sense? He knows about the mitochondria in the cells and
it's
how
the powerhouse of the cell.
How you get them to produce more of the adenosine triphosphate that mm-hmm. powers everything, that gives you your energy. He talks about sugar and why it's absolutely horrific.
It's the worst.
And so many other interesting things. So I think you're going to enjoy this. Take a look. This is a recording I did with him just the other day when he had got back to the UK after being in South Africa for a bit. And if you want more info, all you have to do is mail James. Like everything, he'll ignore you, but send James an email anyway.
Yeah, he will ignore you and forget to book you.
Oh, sure. My God. Did he forget?
He was like, hey, are you ready? And I was like, James, please look up and see if you confirmed me or not. Sorry, James.
Okay.
Sorry, James.
Shambuck time.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
It's Shambuck time for
James. Sorry, James.
I got to get on with Shambucking, James. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Nina. Enjoy the Singapore Grand Prix, Ben.
Thanks, Gareth. I'm going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, enjoy all your travels because I don't think we'll see you for a while.
I actually just wanted to say, Ben, you don't know this, that I know you, but I mean, I know of you, but I think about you all the time when I haven't done my 5 days a week of training for my longevity.
Brilliant. And I haven't done much of that recently.
I was like, yes, this fucking Ben's going to think about me if I don't do my squats in the morning and I don't go to the gym. And I was just like, Ben is going to be upset if I don't have a routine. So, yeah, thank you, Ben, for that. You're a good influence
Great.
In my life.
I'm happy I can have any influence at all.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Excellent. Thank you. I will let you know. I'm going to Milan to watch this band with Gilly. Gilly sent me this shirt.
Who is this?
So this is Paco Amoroso, and on the back is a guy called Catriel. Do you watch Tiny Desk concerts?
No.
So Tiny Desk.
No, you're down a lot of very weird rabbit holes.
Very weird rabbit holes. No. Anyway, so they've gone like super viral. There were like 40 million views of this this performance. And there's this little guy. He looks like he's like got this big blue furry hat. And there's a guy with sunglasses that come out to here. And then this other guy. And they're like, and he does this like, they do like hip hop jazz. They're Argentinian. Gilly and I are going to watch the last night of their world tour in Milan next month. We're going to
love Gilly. Tell her I say hello.
I will.
She's fantastic.
She's my best.
But you're fantastic.
Thank you.
And I love seeing you. Thanks for coming.
Love seeing you too.
All right, everybody. We will see you next Friday. Have an awesome weekend. Behave yourself. Bye. Well, Dr. Abs is a global expert in medical fields, all kinds of things as complicated as quantum electrodynamics, mitochondrial function, as well as longevity, hyaluronic acid, amino acids, and so much more. And that is what the Royal College of Physicians in London says. But I also happen to know that he is the kind of guy who you can rely on for valid and useful information about not looking like an old bastard. So everybody here should try that at least once in their life. And if you're already into it and you're young, all the better. Am I right, Dr. Abs?
100%. Thank you very much for the invite to be here. It's a real pleasure, honestly.
What a pleasure to have you on. So you're in London, and I found out about you. You were in South Africa for a short while, just a little while ago. You're coming back here. Your areas of interest are the areas that I think most people are interested in at the moment. I've spoken to people in Silicon Valley, people in New York, in Beijing. All they want to do, in fact, there was a recording made just the other day, an off-mic recording between Putin and Xi of China. And the two of them were talking about how they want to live forever. So I think this is probably on everybody's menu at some point. It's not just once you start to think you're getting old that you start thinking about living forever. But how are we doing? What's the field of longevity looking like at the moment? And what sort of cutting edge expertise can you share with us?
So unfortunately, it's sort of a lot of great things and a lot of not great things as well. It's filled, as I'm sure you can imagine, with a lot of companies and brands that want to sell things which they would like the user to believe it's going to have some clear, significant life-extending impact. But that's really not the case in most cases. The good news is that, you know, in order to be as healthy as possible and to live as healthily for as long as possible, actually, you really don't need to spend any money at all, if any. Because when you look at what is longevity, you know, it's merely the absence of disease. And then the only thing really that can, you know, affect you is physical issues like accidents, physical trauma, you know, microplastics in the environment, things like that. When we talk about things from a biological context, very, very simply, it's about looking at the individual cell. It's not about looking at the whole organism because there are so many variables by that point. But if you look at an individual cell and see, you know, what makes this cell function the best and what takes away from that optimal function, then you can just multiply that, if you like, or translate it over the whole organism. So something's great for an individual cell, you know, we're made of cells, so you translate that up. And I know it sounds a bit wishy-washy, but let me put that into some concrete terms for you. So one of the things that we did as part of my research team is we looked at how do we maximize the output of a cell? And we realized very, very quickly that amino acids are incredibly important. And it shouldn't come as a surprise, because when you translate that to the whole organism, what that means is the protein we put in our mouth or that we don't put in our mouth. And you know, a low protein diet is an incredibly poor idea. You want the opposite. You want to be full on protein. I'm not going to say high or low. I'm going to say full, because the words high or low actually have a different meaning in this context. It's just based on someone's opinion. But if you say until you're full, then the biological principle is the same, whether it's a baby or you know a 7 foot tall ape of a man, they're getting the required. And when you look at the other things that we can put on our mouth in terms of the macronutrients, it's a choice between fats and carbs. And when we look at these things, if you give the protein with carbs, you know, you get a certain output. If you give it with fats, you get a certain output. If you give it with all three, you actually create inflammation and things start to go downhill slightly. And I know people are probably thinking, what the hell does that mean? But actually, I've said something, if you think about it, that's incredibly profound. Protein with carbs, if you really think about it, that's plants. Every plant source of food in the world is that. Protein with fat is meat. It's every meat source in the world. What a surprise that our biochemistry reflects perfectly the entirety of the world around us in terms of food sources. We are a product of millions of years of evolution, which includes the food sources that have been around for millions of years of evolution, which is either animals or plants. That's it. And when people realize that, then they realize what they put in their mouth, in my opinion, is the most important thing when it comes to longevity. You can have all these special creams, special supplements, special things to inject, special gene therapies or whatever. But all those things, they're trying to fight aging. But if you do that and then you eat terribly, what's the net basis? It's like someone's pushing you forward and then someone's pushing you backwards. You're not really that much better off in a lot of cases. Whereas if you eat right, okay, that's one of the pillars of longevity, in my opinion, and we'll go through a couple of the others, then you're doing the biggest thing you can. The problem is, what is eating right, which is highly controversial for a lot of people, but I'll come straight out with it. Number one, it is to eat protein until you're full. And a protein source must be a good source. Ideally, it has to be animal sourced. So this idea of veganism, I am vehemently against. We know for a fact, and even vegans would agree, that veganism leads to deficiencies, even if you take supplements. And we can see that. We can see children who are fed vegan diets and their brain is literally underdeveloped. We give them animal extracts or animal foods and their brain carries on growing again. If our ancestors were vegan, none of us would be alive today. I think it's pretty obvious that that is the case. So we must eat in that way. And the reason for that, the reason I'm saying it, is because protein with carbs does one thing, protein with fats does another. All three reduces the cell output. All three, if you really think about it, what I've just described is a balanced diet. A balanced diet, which is what we're told to eat when we're kids, is an incredibly poor idea. And if you think I'm talking nonsense, do this 10-second exercise with me. Okay. Think of the past 13.8 billion years that we have been around. Name me one animal that's had a balanced diet instead of eating the same thing again and again every day. You know, there's no giraffe that decides to steal a steak now and again because it's fed up of leaves. There's no lion that decides to buy eucalyptus leaves from its koala cousin because it's bored of deer now. These animals eat the same thing every day. Why? The only exceptions are human beings and domesticated animals that really interfere with.
It's probably because humans have economic or resource concerns, because we can think about these things that animals don't. So we've been sold a bill of goods that makes it seem, well, it's okay if you can't afford meat or you can't go out on the hunt or there isn't any animal protein available, well, then you must eat more vegetables or whatever. It's kind of like we've put a plaster on the problem rather than trying to actually solve it. So diet makes complete sense to me. And I think it's going to be very bad news for some of the vegans, although I think probably my audience will be laughing along with us. It is true, though. And you know, medicine is caught up. We've got people who are aestheticians anesthetic surgeons. We know that there are people who do all kinds of little tips and tricks to make someone look better at an advanced age or even at a younger age. Yeah. You should use certain things. I mean, we know that the sun in huge doses on exposed skin is not particularly good. You can develop skin cancers and things. But what are the major treatments that people are interested in? Because I know here in South Africa, we do have a very hot sun. People are interested in keeping their skin in particular in good condition. And that's obviously because the skin is the biggest organ. So it absorbs a huge amount of energy. It puts out a huge amount of its own product in terms of oils and chemicals and amino acids and all the rest of it. So what are we discovering there? Because there must be some new information. And I know you're on top of all of this.
So I'll try to keep things friendly for the layman here. You can think of treatments in two categories. One would be injectables and one would be devices. Outside of that, you've got basic things like the skincare, etc., which is really just for maintenance. You're not going to treat anything major with skincare in most cases. So when you look at a device, that's typically going to be much more invasive. For example, a laser, which can take the skin off in you know, certain amounts or completely. And then you also have injectables where, you know, you might look at restoring volume because you've lost fat in the face and it looks hollow. That would be something like dermal filler. A lot of people will jump to Botox. You know, Botox isn't actually anti-aging. It's a bit of a myth. When you think about what's aging, you know, aging is not the way you look. That's a symptom of aging. Aging is what's happening on a cellular scale within the cell. You know, how well conserved is the information in your DNA so that when your cell multiplies, the daughter cell has the same function instead of an off function, an odd function. And when you go into a clinic, you are aging at a particular rate. You have the Botox and then you walk out. When you walk out, you are aging at exactly the same rate as when you walked in. So someone please tell me, where's the anti-aging in that? It doesn't exist. All it does is paralyze you to stop you moving. Now, movement is not what causes the wrinkles. If that was, why aren't children as wrinkly as adults? Children move their face just as much as we do, but they don't get wrinkles. Why? Because the skin quality is good enough to take that movement and not develop a wrinkle. So skin quality is really, really crucial. And that's what people are starting to realize. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, the provision of dermal fillers and Botox, or just one of them, I can't remember the statistic exactly, dropped by roughly a third, depending on where you'd like to quote. And you saw simultaneous increases in people wanting to look after their skin quality rather than to make it bigger or to stop it moving. And to that end, you know, one injectable that I would recommend above all does not have the consequences of dermal filler where you look odd after a while or puffy or overinflated. It doesn't stop you moving either. It just keeps the skin quality getting better and better and better. So no one even knows you've had anything done. That product, I am going to declare a conflict of interest here. I have used that product for about 3 years. And I do teach how to use it because I've got a lot of experience. So please take what I say with a bit of bias, which I've been open about here. But the product itself is called Sunacos. And actually, I was in South Africa to teach it to some very experienced doctors there. Now, why do I champion this? Well, let me answer that without bias. Number one, it is based on amino acids. You know, there's a reason we have to eat protein. We put protein in our mouth so that it can go to the cells. This has amino acids. Have a guess, you know, how powerful this thing is because it's made the right way. This particular product, again, taking bias out of the equation, it produces more types of collagen than any other products in the world. It produces more volume of collagen than almost every other product in the world. It produces more elastin, which is to make your skin elastic because that doesn't come from collagen, than any other product in the world. And I believe it makes the most fibronectin, which is another key ingredient in skin, than any other product in the world. And these are verifiable, these are patents, and these are true whether I say it with a bias or someone who doesn't like the product says it, because it's still a fact regardless of who says it. And for this reason, I know, looking after yourself in a diet, making sure you got plenty of sunshine, which isn't difficult in South Africa, obviously, and then looking at treatments which improve skin quality rather than reduce cell function in the context of Botox, or leave risks such as puffiness and, you know, looking worse over time like filler. And with that, you know, visually, I think the aging process is going to slow down a lot. And what's key about Sunacos, again, this is true regardless of who says it, even with my bias, when you have this treatment, when you walk out the clinic, you actually are, on a cellular and subcellular scale, aging slower than when you walked into the clinic. It is the first and only injectable ever made that has been proven to do this, and the proof is in the patent itself as well. There was a test where they gave some cells a chemotherapeutic agent, so something that we use in cancer treatment. By the way, this is not a cancer treatment at all. It's just a test that was done to see how strong it is. They gave something called doxorubicin, which is used in chemotherapy. And obviously, these cells eventually ended up going into what we call senescence, a type of death. However, when Synacos was injected, they resisted that chemotherapeutic agent because of the genuine, true cellular scale anti-aging qualities that this has. So you know, for me, this is the only injectable I would ever have in my own face when it comes to skin quality. And now it's finally available in South Africa as well.
Well, we'll have to leave some details in the description of this conversation. But I wanted to ask you, there are a lot of people who are they're trying to sell collagen as a powder, yeah, or a supplement you put into a shaker. Does that help at all?
It's a really great question because they're getting really popular. In my opinion, no, it doesn't. Because think of collagen as a ladder, right? It's a long, big molecule, what we call a macromolecule. And whenever you put anything into the stomach, it's like taking a large piece of furniture and putting it into a wood chipper, and you just get small pieces. And that's what's happening when collagen, if it's intact, goes into the stomach because the acid breaks it down. The acid in our stomach breaks what we call peptide bonds. And then the full protein is broken down into its constituent parts, which we call amino acids. And so once we have these amino acids, I'm going to sound cynical and sarcastic, but there's no other way to say this. Once those amino acids are inside us, what kind of wizardry is there to control which part of our body they then travel to? It's impossible. You can't control, you can't do a spell like Gandalf and say, I want you to go to the skin, and if it tries to go to the liver, you shall not pass, you know, whatever else there is. So once they're in there, the body will use them wherever it deems necessary. And so there's nothing inherently harmful about having these things, but in all the studies that are done, it's very difficult to prove it has a significant effect on the skin. And if you spent that same money on actually working directly on the skin, I believe you would get a much better effect. And for me personally, for those wondering, I don't take any of those drinks whatsoever.
You know, there's a lot of emphasis on diet, which we've already sort of covered. I know that there's huge amount of detail available in the literature now, and people are discovering, you know, these carnivore diets, and you get the paleo diet, and you get all these different things. People probably only become interested in those when they have a problem. Otherwise, they're completely oblivious to them most of the time. The other one that people talk about all the time, and I suppose exercise has to come into this conversation, because the muscles are the part of the body that do the work, that also connect all the different things together. And under the skin, that's the stuff that is busy doing all the heavy lifting. So how important is exercise? And do you have any kind of interesting cases you could talk to us about, people who have or haven't exercised and have found benefits or huge deleterious effects as a result?
Yeah, I'll just answer the first thing that you said. I just want to add that you said something very, very important. You said that, you know, people are starting to look into different types of diets, including the carnivore diet and all these things. I just want to say that, first of all, that's absolutely what people should be doing. They should really question what they've been told. They should look into these things. They should try and look at real-world cases. Don't just think because the government said this, it's absolutely correct. You have to actually look at real life cases. The government gave us the food guidelines in 1977 or 78, and that's when the obesity epidemic started. You know, the government says you have to eat a balanced diet. There's actually no evidence for a balanced diet. You know, I myself I follow the carnivore diet religiously. And when it comes to, you know, these other things that you've now mentioned, which again are very important, like musculature, it helps in that regard as well. You know, I actually work with professional athletes such as footballers in the Premier League. I've worked with professional cricketers, captains of England in the past. One particular player who is a carnivore now is Adam Holyoake, former captain of England. Even when the New Zealand rugby team went full carnivore, they won the World Cup. It's not a coincidence. And musculature and the amount of muscle you hold, honestly, is so important for longevity. Now, there is a caveat. I'm not saying take performance-enhancing drugs to really maximize that. If you're taking performance-enhancing drugs, I think that's a negative. I don't think that's healthy. If you get to the size of Mr. Olympia, I also don't think that's healthy because you've got restriction of motion and mobility as well. But within reason, putting on as much muscle as you can is incredibly important because one of the key components in every cell of our entire body that determines our health is a particular sort of organ, if you like. We call them organelles. So it's an organ within a cell. One of the key components, you know, we've got things like the nucleus where the DNA is kept. Another thing is called the mitochondria. And the mitochondria are really, really important because they create what we term, quote, energy, unquote, to keep us alive. And if they die, we're dead. And when you look at the muscles.
Right.
Yeah. So this is like a power station. It's like a battery. So if you've got no battery in your torch, obviously the whole thing stops working. And when you look at where is the most mitochondria in the body, one of the biggest depots is muscles. So if you look at an elderly person, I'm sure we can picture one who's very frail with very little musculature. It's very natural to think of that person as having a list of medication as long as their arm and a list of medical problems. Whereas when we look at an elderly person who has some musculature and they're able to jog perhaps or be active or play cricket with their grandchildren, what a surprise, in our minds at least, we don't picture them with a lot of medication and medical problems because musculature contains a lot of mitochondria and it's very, very crucial. My advice to people in this context is when you are young, build as much muscle as you can. Go to the gym. You want to be failing roughly on the eighth rep of the set. Honestly, for the vast majority of people, unless you're going professional, two sets of each exercise is enough. Fail on the eighth rep. And you want to be training every other day. If you train every day, you're actually at more risk of cardiac problems, heart problems. Really? For example, you know, football players still have heart attacks on the pitch. Marathon runners still have heart attacks. Runners, prolific runners, if you give them an MRI, you will find problems with what's called the LAD, the left anterior descending artery. Because when you pump and you pump and you pump and you work your heart that long and that hard, what happens is the pressure can cause damage. And that's when you start to get problems with the artery linings and things like that. So typically, I will never, ever train 2 days in a row. I will train and then I rest. If you're a professional and it's part of your job, you know, that's fine. Like there are exceptions to that. Not that that's healthy, but it's fit for purpose. But for the everyday person who genuinely wants longevity, train, rest, train, rest. And if you do want to do something cardio-based, you know, the ideal longevity routine would be to, number one, spend a significant portion of your life building muscle and then spend a significant portion also building strength. So it might be that, you know, for 9 months of the year, you build muscle size and 3 months, you build muscle strength. And instead of running and doing cardio, which I never recommend, I would recommend instead you look at something called high intensity interval training. And you could do that for, let's say, an accumulative total of up to, say, 20 minutes in the week, something like that, where you sprint, rest, because human beings aren't designed to just jog continuously. We either walked to conserve energy or we sprinted to catch prey or run away from prey. Our physical anatomy, and I won't go too long on this, but our physical anatomy isn't conducive to having to landing on our heel, shall we say, and putting three times our body weight through the hip, the knee, and the ankle. Whereas when we sprint and we keep the weight forward on the toes, where the joint is to bend the foot, our ankle is suspended in the air and we have a shock absorber. And that's when things are much more healthy. So our anatomy tells us where the weight is meant to be placed. And if the weight's meant to be forward, clearly we're not jogging, we're sprinting. If the weight's at the back, clearly we're just walking. And so that is the way people should think about being active in their life. Obviously, if you're playing a sport, just do what you need in the sport. That's fine. But if you're not doing a sport and you want to specifically just be active, build muscle, build strength, sprint, rest. That's a basic outline to keep yourself as healthy as possible. Apologies if it was a bit of a long answer.
All right. This is great free advice that we're all getting here. What I wanted to ask you, though, is in your practice, and you said you've helped athletes, ordinary people, older people, younger people. What sort of treatment, and we're not talking about the diet advice or the exercise advice that we've just spoken about now. What sort of treatments are people looking for? What is all the rage at the moment? And what do you think of people who overdo those things? Because there's also, you know, there's a coterie of people who are just obsessed with trying to look good forever and perhaps overdo the Botox or the fillers or whatever else. What are the most popular things and where do you kind of draw the line with people?
It's a really great question. I think in the last couple of years, since lockdown, in fact, we're starting to see more and more cosmetic treatments that are available for home use. For example, we've all seen the LED masks that they have. You know, they're not a bad treatment. They can actually be really, really good. And if assuming the mask is good, which is a big assumption, by the way, assuming it's good, I would always recommend people have one at home. And it can be a fantastic investment because it's low cost, but it can last years and years and years and give you so much anti-aging benefit. Most people nowadays are actually concerned with what they see in the media in terms of celebrities that have been getting treatment for a long time. They start to look weird and they don't start to look like themselves. And people are catching on and they realize, okay, they've clearly had Botox too much. They've had fillers too much. I don't want to look like that. And now I realize there is a risk of going overboard. And I think it's nice that people are starting to realize that the pendulum has started to swing the other way. So nowadays, I think there's a shift towards being much more conservative with things like filler and Botox, because we know that you don't necessarily look, shall we say, normal or like yourself down the line. So typically, I would say filler in moderate amounts. You know, if you've lost a certain amount of fat, replace that exact amount, et cetera, et cetera. Be very sensible. Botox, I don't think addresses anything because nothing is caused by excess movement in most cases. And so typically people are going to an injectable like Cinacost that I said, as well as clinical treatments like lasers, because you can get quite a significant improvement in a short space of time with a laser. And it doesn't leave anything in your skin, doesn't leave you looking puffy, doesn't stop you moving. It's much more appropriate in that sense. So I think what we're going to see in the next couple of years is more and more things for the home. More and more things that deviate away from inflating or freezing the face, i.e. filler and Botox, because that's the steps that we've started to take in the past couple of years since COVID.
All right. I love it. all very, very useful stuff. What about the cost of these things? Is it something that's available to everybody? Because, again, a lot of young people who probably should have started when they were in their 20s, I'm sure you're a big fan of anyone who starts to take care of themselves at a much younger age, because it's obviously harder as you get older. But sometimes the reason that they don't is because they think these things cost an absolute fortune. And yeah. I don't know whether that's true or not. Is it?
It's a really great question. I mean, let me give people a tip here. The more money you spend doesn't equate to the better result. In fact, if people want a tip here or live on the call, you can probably make a skincare serum by yourself at home that's just as powerful, if not more powerful, than what you can get in the shops anywhere. One of the best ingredients we have is vitamin B3. I could talk all day about this, but vitamin B3 is exceptional in what it can do. It's cousin NAD+. I've used it in cases where people are getting relief from Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's. It's extraordinary. But in skincare, a relative of NAD is niacinamide, which is still vitamin B3. You could buy a niacinamide powder for US dollars, maybe less than $10, and then buy some saline, which is like the body's equivalent of water. It's about 0.9% salt water, basically. And you can mix them together at home and have an incredibly powerful serum that's cost you, a couple of US dollars. I'm not good with the rand currency here, but I'll stick to US dollars. And that's incredibly powerful. But it's not going to be bad for you or poor because it's cheap. If you look at LED masks, you know, the one that I believe is the most powerful in the world right now, I don't make any money from recommending this. I'm not connected to the company. I've had the creator of my podcast. It's called the StylePro, StylPro. In British pounds, that's about £100. So that's probably 2,500 rand. And it's not going to last forever. But if you spend 2,500 rand and that lasts you, 3 years, 4 years, and the amount of improvement you get is huge compared to what you pay in other things. So at home, you don't need to pay a huge amount. The expense should come for devices when you go to a clinic. For example, very powerful lasers, because the lasers themselves can be $250,000 sometimes. And I fully appreciate doctors they can't work at a loss. No one can. And so it's things like that. That's where you want to spend your money. So an ultra clear laser, to give you a rough idea, in London, One treatment might be £1,500 in rand. That's probably between 35,000 and 40,000 rand. Right. However, that would be something you do maybe once every couple of years. And with all the cheap stuff that you do at home and making sure you get enough sunshine, you eat right, you're going to minimize the need for those sorts of things. When you look at injectables like Synacos, you're probably looking at, depending on which part of the country you go and is it a nice area, a sort of low economic area, somewhere between, say, 5,000 and 10,000 rand is probably where you're going to look. I appreciate that's a big range, but I'm not intimately familiar with the sort of upper and lower class areas of South Africa to know exactly what it would be. So the clinical stuff is obviously going to be more expensive, but the home stuff can be very, very cheap indeed.
One last thing. What is the impact of genes on all of this? Because we know that some people just have the happy knack of aging beautifully and gracefully and looking young well into their 60s, 70s. And very often you'll hear people saying, oh, well, they've just got good genes. Is there such a thing? Is there such an unfair biological advantage?
There is such a thing as some genes being more consciously preferential, but there's no such thing as a bad gene. And I'm gonna bust this myth right now. We are a product of, as I said, 4 to 6 million years, call it 5 million years of evolution. And bad genes are weeded out all the time. There is no exception. So if we have particular genes, it's because they have made it through that evolutionary process. If there was a gene that coded for something bad, none of us would be alive today. For example, people are told all the time that cholesterol is really bad for you. Well, where is cholesterol made? It's made in the liver. And what's cholesterol supposedly bad for? The heart. Do you really think for 5 million years we've evolved for one organ to try and kill the other? Do you think we'd be alive if that was the case? That's why there's no evidence for cholesterol being bad. And when you look at the same argument for genes, it's really whether or not the genes are activated. That's the thing. A gene is what's called a dependent variable. That means whether it's active or not, whether this happens or that happens, depends on an independent variable. And our genes, you know, they are dependent on everything we do consciously because they are activated subconsciously. So, for example, if someone has supposedly good genes where they look young all the time, but they make the conscious 21st century decision to smoke all the time and to, you know, live in a country where there's no sun all the time, probably Britain where I am, where there's no sun, and so they get a vitamin D deficiency, all these things, even if their family looks great, they're probably not going to look great. And so instead of worrying about the genes, which you can't control anyway, it's best to do what is consciously possible to the best of your ability. Because then if you do the best of your ability, any gene that is supposedly bad, the chances of it having a bad effect are very, very little because the genes depend on what you consciously do. So for example, if you come from a family where people start to get wrinkles a lot earlier compared to, say, your neighbors or something like that, that doesn't mean you've got something to worry about. It just means that maybe the things that we do, like eating right, getting sunshine, doing exercise, you know, not choosing to go overboard with filler and Botox and instead looking to improve skin quality, et cetera. Maybe it just means that you've got to educate yourself on that a bit more. And if you do that right, you're probably going to look just as nice as your neighbor family who don't get wrinkles early. And so for me, you know, my genes are terrible based on my family history. Everyone, and I mean everyone in my family, has metabolic syndrome disorders like diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertriglyceridemia, arthritis, vitamin D deficiency, all these things. And guess what? I have absolutely none whatsoever. And, you know, I have competed in powerlifting to a world record level. I have competed in sports to a very high level all my life, even with that kind of genetic history. So I'm living proof that it's possible to have a fantastic health and longevity, regardless of what your family history is.
I love it. What an inspiring message to end things on. And thank you so much for your time. I know you're a very busy man with lots and lots of people waiting to see you in your practice. And it's just delightful to hear this information. And I think for many people, practical, useful kind of thing they're going to start doing now. It's never too late, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And if I can leave you as with one individual tip, it is to not fall for companies and brands that make you think if you buy something expensive, something great will happen. The best things that you can do for health and longevity are either incredibly cheap or free. And I'm saying that as someone who has nothing to sell you.
Brilliant. I love it. Thank you, Dr. Abs. What a pleasure to speak to you.